stop thinking about what's up there. I mean, what kind of life?
You mean, will it be some kind of slimy blob?
It could be anything. I mean, it could be pure energy, or it could be thought waves. I mean, I don't know. It could be something we can't even imagine.
How about a planet full of Amazon women who want to breed a new race?
You pervert.
Oh, come on, you guys. You'll see, it'll be great. It'll be the greatest thing ever.
You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find
Look, Tito, it's not that big of a deal. It's a dream. Strange things happen in a dream. All I want you to do is laugh. Why is that such a problem for you?
Why does it have to be a dwarf?
What?
Why does my character have to be a dwarf?
It doesn't have to be a dwarf.
Then why is he? Is that the only way you can make this a dream? Put a dwarf in it?
No, Tito.
Have you ever had a dream with a dwarf in it? Do you know anyone who's had a dream with a dwarf in it? No! I don't even have dreams with dwarves in them. The only place I've seen dwarves in dreams is in stupid movies like this. Oh, make it weird. Put a dwarf in it. Everyone will go, whoa, whoa, whoa. It must be a fucking dream. There's a fucking dwarf in it. Well, I'm sick of it. You can take this dream sequence and shove it up your ass.
My dog barks some. Mentally, you picture my dog, but I have not told you the type dog which I have. Perhaps you might even picture Toto from The Wizard of Oz. But I can tell you, my dog is always with me.
My dear family, guess what? Today I found out what my special purpose is for. Gosh, what a great time I had. I wish the whole family could have been here with me. Maybe some other time, as I intend to do this a lot. Every chance I get. I think next week I'll be able to send more money as I may have extra work. My friend Patty promised me a blowjob. Your loving son, Nathan. And he's got the kisses here.
That Patty must be a sweet girl.
God bless her.
My little buttercup has the sweetest smile. Dear little buttercup, won't you stay a while? Come with me where moonbeams paint the sky. With your eyes so blue. Oh, little buttercup, you're a dream come true. You and I will settle down in a cottage built for two. Dear little buttercup, I love you.
Everybody!
My little buttercup has the sweetest
is my end.
dear little buttercup, won't you stay out?
Quiet, quiet.
You and I will settle down in a cottage built for two. Dear little buttercup, sweet little buttercup,
my little buttercup.
What kind of beer do you like?
Heineken.
Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Yeah! Hell yeah! Hi, everybody! Woo! Ah, I get some applause. Hey, everyone! Welcome to the show! Nowhere Mulberry! Hey! The unapologetically fantastic TV talking type show. God, I got nothing. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. Film, television, pop culture. That's what we talk about every week. We talk about it to the point where it's just like exhausting by the end. Isn't it, Bill?
It is indeed exhausting.
And
that's not a bad thing, though.
Yeah. I mean, I get it all out and then we start all over again. And here we are again, right? We're back. And, man, I put this show together, like all this stuff in the intro and everything. I started at 3 o'clock today. Man, crazy. Usually I start on a little, like, Thursday and stuff, and so I have less to do. But
yeah,
not today. Cram session, but got it all done, and I hope everyone enjoys the show.
Well, I think they will. They normally do. Normally we don't get any feedback because you guys really suck.
Hey, we got some great Swiley feedback. We got Pro. We got Positively Ken. We got some of that. That was pretty nice.
Yeah. And they're pretty regular.
And, Bill, we have some voicemail, too, later on.
Excellent.
There's something I do right now. I introduce somebody, but something's kind of confused. What do I do right now?
Is someone late?
Yeah, there's an empty chair next to me.
Is someone on their way?
Yeah.
Are they texting you during the show?
He did text me once saying he just got home, so he'll be late. So Steven, the pop culture zealot, will show up sometime during the show.
Oh, if he doesn't fall asleep on the couch.
Oh, dear. Wow. They all came to see Steven, Bill. They're pissed.
You know, Steven's a big get. You know, you would think that our names at the top of the banner would be, hey, those two. I love those two. But no, they all come for Steven.
Like, those guys are always there. I want some Steven.
I think it's that predator snort that, like, pulls people out of the woodwork. It's like some sort of, like, geek call or something.
But, hey, everyone, I am the Jaystrom, and this is Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good. I'm glad that you got everything done on time, and you're not too exhausted from the cram session.
No, I'm ready to do the show.
All right, good.
So, and hopefully we will have Steven soon.
Well, there's no one more crap than Steven.
That's right.
He never disappoints.
That's right. He'll bring a bag of goodies for us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anything exciting happened this week, Bill? Let's see.
Not a whole nothing notable.
I just thought of something. I lost internet for a day and it was traumatic.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
It was like
you lose internet and then you're like lost. You don't know what to do.
It was literally like I'd lost a loved one. Like, what do I do with myself? You know, just like
you don't realize the addiction or the dependence until it's not there.
No one could console me, put their arm around me, get off of me.
Yep. My phone, I had to send in for repair because the battery couldn't hold a charge. And luckily, it only takes 2 days, but you kept posting on Twitter, hey, text me. It's like, I can't.
I was like, Bill, I need help. Please help. I was like sending you text messages to Twitter trying to get help. And basically, I need a smartphone. So I've been, since my internet came back, that's all I've been looking up. Okay, what smartphone am I going to get? I'm not going to get that iPhone 4 because if I hold it the wrong way.
And then you have to buy a $30 plastic bumper to fix holding it the wrong way.
But, yeah, that wasn't fun. So I never want to go without internet again. It'll suck.
And those smartphones, you can get, like, little, like, 4G hotspots on them, right?
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to just have a Wi-Fi belt buckle wherever I go. And I'll just, wouldn't that be cool? Just, I have internet everywhere I go. Nobody can stop me. I mean,
well, you know, for kicks, what I'll do when I'm in the car and I'm not driving the car, I'll have my iPhone up, and I love looking at people's Wi-Fi. Like, I'll have the Wi-Fi detection on, and I love to see if people don't secure their Wi-Fi or if they leave the standard, name, the default name for it, or if they change names to something.
Yeah, it'll just say admin or router or something.
Yeah, there's someone that lives close to me. It's near an intersection where this bar is, the Jacktown Pub, and their Wi-Fi is named GLaDOS, which is the villain computer from the Portal game. And that gave me the biggest laugh the other day.
That's funny.
I was like, man, I need to find who that person is and shake their hand.
Yeah, that's when my internet was down, I was doing searches with my iPod Touch. Like, come on, there's got to be a Wi-Fi signal runner somewhere.
I have a name for my Wi-Fi, but I don't broadcast it. I don't broadcast the SSID. But mine is clever. It involves the connection not being the person's that's looking for it. So if you're looking for my connection and you come up with the SSID, it basically tells you to piss off. It's not yours.
Yeah, I've heard of stuff like that where people say, get your own or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Don't jump on mine. Like, I've been waiting outside my daughter's school and did a Wi-Fi search and found one that I could use, like, right outside her school, like somebody's house, like right there.
Yeah,
on the
wide open.
Yeah. That's,
I don't, you know, some people, I guess they're just blissfully ignorant that they don't realize how dangerous that is. That, you know, your internet traffic, whenever you're using your credit card and stuff, is encrypted, but your emails aren't.
Right.
So you could easily, you know, hijack an email account and get the information you need to access someone's personal life. So
that's pretty scary.
People need to smarten up. Don't broadcast your SSID and make sure you use WPA2 encryption.
Yeah,
it's that easy.
I didn't know about the SSID thing. I need to do that.
Yeah, you want to turn off the SSID. It makes it a little harder to access.
You know, maybe
because you have to do a manual search for your network, but you never want to broadcast your SSID.
Yeah, you might actually. You helped me set up the router, so you probably already told me to do that. Maybe. But I'll check.
It was so long ago, I don't even remember.
Now, Bill, we have some voicemail. Let's go ahead and get to that. We've waited too long for Steven. He's not showing up, most likely.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Steven, are you going to be here, or what's going on, huh?
Are you going to be here?
Where are you?
Since I smoke, my taste buds are off.
Yeah, okay, we know the Chris Rock, okay?
He also wonders what bacon is.
Yeah, why don't you speak some Chinese for us, all right?
Say, let me have a demo again.
Well, now you're on the phone.
I still, you know, you've told me, I don't know how many times, what he says there, and I still have no idea. Wow. I honestly, you know, it's like whenever... Whenever you misunderstand a song, like a lyric to a song, perfect example, my dad loves the song Kokomo, Beach Boys. Loves the movie Cocktail, too, but that's beside the point. There's a part where they say Mount Surratt, or no, they said that Mount Surratt Mystique. And for years, he thought they said that musty, rotten stink. And I would say to him, why in the hell would the Beach Boys talk about this wonderful place and its musty, rotten stink? I don't know. That's what it sounds like.
That's
a
great
But it's just the way it is. I can't. You could tell me how many times what he says there, and I'll never remember it. Never.
Say, let me
have the
other one again.
Nope, no idea. That is not English.
Steven's slightly Asian. All right, our first voicemail is from Derek. Let's check out what he has to say to us. Oh, we feel so special, don't we? Yeah,
I do.
Somewhat. The Mulberry Boys are back. All three of you.
Woo-hoo! Oops. All two
Love
of us.
Love it. Derek calling from Denver again. Hey, great show. Cracked up. Love having you guys back. Funniest moment for me was just this weird moment when Bill was reading the story about shooting the pigeon, and Jason just said all serious. And I bet Bird is mad. Still laughing over that. It was just such a crazy, silly, stupid, funny thing. So great job. Also, wanted to give you guys back something. I'm a big fan of the Netflix streaming service, and there's some gems, some real gold out there, but it's mixed among a lot of crap. So I want to tell you a couple that I found recently. I've gone back and watched the first season of Dollhouse, which has been really, really fun, because then I follow up each episode with your commentary about the episode, which always had some great drops and great gold. The other recommendation is a movie, if you haven't seen, The Machinist with Christian Bale. Really, really, really creepy, fun, awesome, great showcase of Mr. Bale's talent. So check it out. The Machinist, it's available on streaming, and I'd love to hear any recommendations or things you guys have found. Have a great night, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Derek. And I've seen The Machinist, and I'm a big fan of Christian Bale, but there's just no weight to his role at all.
But I'm bummed.
That's so bad.
You know, it's so funny that, you know, you would think that whenever Christian Bale got into that argument with the guy on the set of Terminator Salvation, he went, I effing starved myself for a role.
I had one apple a day while making this film.
Man, that movie is trippy.
The Machinist, the thing that drove me nuts is the end, like the big reveal. It's kind of like you figured it out about 40 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And, I almost felt like, man, it needed a bigger revelation or something. Like, it's a very well-made movie, but it's not, like, as powerful the reveal that you were hoping it'll be. So, and it was impossible for me not to feel, as I was watching it, he ate one apple a day while making this.
Yeah. And the dedication.
And the movie should have been kick-ass, knock it out of the park good to do that, you know?
But, you know, I got to... There's a guy that for the longest time did custom cover art for HD DVDs on the AVS forum. This guy named Bunny Dojo. If you even search Bunny Dojo on Google, you'll come up with something. But he did a cover art for The Machinist that was so good, it made me want to import the HD DVD for $50. Like, I wanted to own the movie just so I could put the cover art in there.
Yeah, I remember
I don't know how the guy didn't get more work. I even talked to him one time, like, hey, you know, we have this podcast, and we would really like to have a nice website. Would you like to design one for us? You know, like, for free. But, I just one
It'll
of those
be your
movies
honor
that
to do.
I think it deserved a little more oomph.
Yeah, definitely. But thanks, Derek. I appreciate that. And we're back. Now, we have another voicemail. This one from JSR. We haven't heard from this dude in a long time, Bill.
I know. What the hell happened to him? He, like, started with the Swiley-type feedback for, like, 3 weeks and then disappeared. And I see him active in the Hollywood Saloon area of the forums, but he never comes to visit us anymore. I feel, like, rejected, spurned.
No, he still listens to the show. And, boy, has he got a lot to tell us. Let's check it out.
Guys, this is JSR, and wanted to call because I just finished listening to episode 192 of Nowhere Mulberry, and I felt compelled to tell you how epically awesome it was. It's the episode where you guys talk about the guy from Seducing Cindy who has explosive diarrhea, and
classic.
I listened to your show on my iPod at work. I work in an office, quiet office, a cubicle farm, and I had to stop the show, take out my earbuds, and just try to compose myself because when you, pardon the pun, but when you guys lost your shit, I lost my shit, and I almost just audibly busted up laughing. But, it was that, for my money, so far is the funniest moment in Nowhere in Mulberry for me. And I know you haven't heard anything from me in quite a while, and I'm still listening to the show. I still love it. It's not because I stopped listening for a little while, not because of anything you did, and not because I didn't like it anymore. But when Friday Night Lights came back to DirecTV, I don't have DirecTV, so I watched the episodes on the internet, and I just couldn't find time to watch them. And I don't want to skip parts of your show and come back to listen to them later. And I don't want to have Friday Night Lights spoiled for me, so I decided to stop listening to you guys until I could get caught up with Friday Night Lights. And once I did, I'm starting to get caught up on the 20-plus episodes I have built up of Nowhere in Mulberry. And they're awesome. Every single one of them I have enjoyed. And cool. I love everything about them. In one of the episodes I've been listening to, you say that you didn't know if old school episodes still played as well as the new ones, and they absolutely do. I think even maybe a little bit more so, because some of those shows that you talk about, I also watch, and now since it's been some time, I've seen the rest of the season, and it's kind of fun to see, to think back and, you know, just on a show like 24, and which I thought got pretty good by the end of the season, but in the first part of the episode, I wanted to shoot myself in the first part of the series, I wanted to shoot myself in the head with how stupid it was. And going back and listening to it, listening to you guys talk about it, it was kind of enjoyable to see that you guys hated it as much as I did. And you know, for other things like Heroes, which I watched up until this last season, actually, it just fell off of my DVR, and I realized that I didn't miss it. And listening to you guys go through this last season, oh, thank you for saving me from that. I feel like I feel satisfied, like I've
it's
watched
the hardest
the season
thing we've ever done.
But
it really
I didn't
is
have to suffer through it. I do apologize that you did have to suffer through it, but it's canceled, so it's gone now, so that's all good.
Oh, thank you.
Wanted to thank you guys for warning us about Mulberry Old School possibly going away soon because of the website being so shitty. And so I've been downloading the old episodes to keep so I can go back and listen to you guys from the beginning one day. And holy crap, is that website shitty? Cause it takes for frickin' ever to download an episode. I can't stand it. But
yeah, it's pain in the ass.
Hopefully they all successfully download, and then I'll have them at my fingertips when I want to go back and listen to them. But thank you for warning us that they might go away, as if they're going to get thrown in the Disney vault along with all those DVDs of Cinderella and The Rescuers Down Under, you know, available for a limited time only. So thanks for that.
Fox in the Hound.
And the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, because of the new Predator movie coming out soon, I wanted to go back and watch the first two Predator movies because I had never seen them before. And I got quite a treat when I watched the original Predator movie, namely the origin of the infamous Nowhere in Mulberry drop, going to have me some fun. I had absolutely no idea that was from Predator and didn't expect it. And it was awesome. And the movie was pretty good, too. You know, it's campy, it's a little cheesy, especially with the freeze frame, break the fourth wall, look at the camera like I'm on an SNL opening the title sequence, closing credit. But that was you know, that's all well and good. And the second Predator movie, Predator 2, with Danny Glover,
yeah
not so much. Really, not so much for me.
Come on, it's got drug dealers hanging upside down.
I love Danny Glover as much as the next person. And
Rastafarians.
Gary Busey. But really, see, I think that movie would have been really, really better if Gary Busey had threatened to pull the Predator's endocrine system out of his
that would have been sweet.
Out of his
or
body. That would have been much better. But he didn't do that. So the movie only rose to a certain level and no further. But AVP, you know, I might take some shit for this, but I had quite a bit of fun with it. Not a great movie.
Yeah. It is what it is.
It's not even a good movie. Okay? But I had a lot of fun with it. And more so than I thought I would.
Yeah, you definitely have to let go while you watch it.
And I like Lance Hendrickson. ADP Requiem?
Yeah, there's that one too. you know, little Michelle Dessler.
That one is so bad,
Requiem, yeah.
Yeah.
There's not
anyway,
much to say.
Looking forward to seeing the new Predators movie, I guess, kind of. But, so
I wish Steven was here.
Hear your thoughts on that later. Much later for me, since it's going to be a little while before I catch up to that. But that's all right. Anyway, I'm rambling now, so I'm just going to hang up. And love your show, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. Thanks, JSR.
I gotta say, I don't know if it's his phone or his Bluetooth headset, but that's an excellent connection.
Yeah, very good.
I mean, really, really good.
I could hear when he was making turns and stuff.
I know. I was gonna tell him to, you know, put his arm out the window to indicate a left turn.
You know, I get a thrill out of when people say, "Hey, I never knew what this clip was. You guys play on the show all the time, but I saw a movie and then I heard the drop."
Isn't that fun?
That's awesome. Like, I could just see, you know, watching Predator, and all of a sudden Bill Duke starts doing the, "Gonna have me some fun." And you're like, wait, where? I know this from something. What is this? Oh, my God, I know what this is from. That's awesome.
Here, admitting my film noobishism, I had never seen Midnight Express until a few years ago. And the opening with that song, what is it called? The Chase or something?
Yeah.
That dun 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 dun. And the moment that, to me, that song has always been the opening of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Right.
I'm one of those late night radio guys. I love late night talk radio, especially Coast to Coast, because it's so nutty at times. So one day I decided, okay, I'm going to watch Midnight Express. I know it's depressing, crazy. I'm going to check it out.
Turkish prison fun.
Yeah. So I put it on, and the opening is dun 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 dun. Yeah. I was like, whoa! It's just this instant moment of recognition.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it helped me enjoy the movie or hindered it, but it was still that moment of recognition that was so great.
This is some AM radio show theme.
I know. Are they going to talk about alien abductions now?
Sweet.
I'm going to have me some fun.
Huh?
I'm going to have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
Oh, good, Bill.
I'm gonna have me some fun.
Bill Duke.
I'm gonna have me some
fun. Poor guy.
That's one of the best moments of just completely losing your shit in a movie.
Yeah. It's awesome. Now, we also have a voicemail from Sean. Let's check out what Sean has to say. Hey! Bill, sound festive. Hey!
Yeah! Oh, man, I love Sean. He's awesome.
Yay!
Hey, Mulberry, it's Sean here. So, so happy to have you guys back. Listen to last week's episode at work, and it helped make my work day go by much faster. It was
excellent.
A good, good show. The only sad part was how short the DVD segment was, because that segment is probably my favorite of the whole show, but not your fault that there's a bunch of crap DVDs coming out and nothing to note. So hopefully this week will be better. I don't know what's coming up, but Bill will let us know. But yeah, awesome, awesome show. And I just wanted to tell you guys that because of all the wonderful TV shows that you talk about, I've been on like a TV binge for the last several weeks. I've been catching up on all these old shows that I've never seen before, some of which you guys have talked about, like Spartacus. I finished that. That was awesome. I watched Arrested Development, Band of Brothers. And now I'm watching, Firefly. Maybe I'll become a brown coat. And, right now I'm also watching Spaced. And it's cool because I'm also listening to some old school episodes where you guys take some drops from that show. And when I heard those episodes before, I had no idea where those drops are from. But now, skip to the end or, whoa there, pickle. Yeah, now I know where those are from. So I feel like I get the jokes now. So, yeah, that show's I love that show. It's pretty funny, so I can't wait to finish that. And just like, can't wait for this week's show to come out next week. So until then, have an awesome show, guys.
When people tell me they're watching Spaced for the first time, I get excited, like, ooh, lucky you.
So do I. It's, you know, that's the way I kind of felt whenever I sent it to you on DVD, because it was one of those things that I experienced and I had no one to talk to about.
Yeah.
Like, I had seen it and loved it, and it just hit that geek note. And then when I sent it to you, and I was like, dude, you got to watch this. Trust me. Check it out. And then you became attached to it like I was attached to
it.
Yeah,
you immediately
and just
fall in
to
love
spread
with
it. Spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Spread the funny. Get it out there because it deserves it.
And everyone should – anyone who's listening that's never watched Spaced, it's on DVD here now. Go get the box set. It's really cheap. Just watch it. Mm. It's fantastic.
It really is. It's a classic.
Now,
the only thing about Space that I actually miss now are those Robot Wars shows. there's that whole storyline with Mike and Tim building the robot.
Right,
and
Robot Wars.
We don't have those on TV anymore.
Yeah, I remember you'd always see them on PBS or whatever, and it would have Dave Lister from
Red
Dwarf.
Yes, Dave Lister.
It.
But then there was the one we did for Comedy Central. It was kind of a ripoff, and a lot of the old Mythbuster people were on it back then.
Ah, sweet.
And I would watch that one too, but I miss those type of shows. I wonder if they just, you know, fell out of favor, or
I don't know.
Because those were fun. I loved seeing robots destroy one another.
Now, Bill, Sean said that he wants a longer DVD segment, but didn't you tweet already today?
Yeah,
that there aren't many DVDs.
Four. Yeah. Four DVDs and Blu-rays.
Oh, dear. Bill, you're going to have to find something to stretch it out with or something.
Yeah. You know, I printed out a couple extra news stories, or maybe we can talk about something we've seen, or, you know, who knows.
Five Blu-rays that everyone wants.
but it's just one of those. I think because it's the dead of the summer,
mm-hmm.
I think they pull back on releases.
Right.
So it's just one of those weeks that it's really, really bad.
Bummer. Sorry, Sean.
There is one I'm excited about, though. I'm actually really excited about, though, because it's one of those things that I've wanted in HD, and I hope it lives up to, you know, the HD quality.
I think I know what it's going to be. All right. Well, we've got another voicemail. This one from Rick. Hey, it's Rick. Bill, check it out. Hey, Rick. Hi.
Excellent.
Can he see me waving?
I think he can. He's damn, I was just going to make a joke that would go over anyone's head that didn't read Under the Dome. So, oh well.
Okay. Well, here we go. Rick!
Hey, guys. Good to hear you's back. Man, that was a long wait for some more name. I can't believe it. I was listening to it going, damn, this is so surreal, man. They're back. New episode. And I'm enjoying the shit out of it. So thanks for coming back, and everyone appreciates it. And I had a dream too, Jason, that you had like a Big Bird hat on. It doesn't make any sense, but
cool.
I'm going to live the dream. Get one of them. Send me a picture.
What is that?
No, I didn't really have that dream. It would be kind of weird.
Oh, boo.
But
why would
I
you make something up
good
like
guys. I'm loving it. It's not like
cool.
The most hilarious or the most awesome show ever, but yeah, you kind of just like watch and go, yeah, I wouldn't mind watching another episode of that.
Oh, the
it's
good guys.
It's kind of non-offensive,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't make you think too hard.
Love the good guys.
And you have a good time. It's like meeting an old friend who you don't see all the time. But when you do see them, you have a good time with them. You know those kind of people? You don't have to go out and watch them. You don't have to go and see them. But when you do, it's good.
It's like Steven.
You know? And you love it. And you're like, man, I should see them more often. But then you don't. And then you lose touch. And then a year goes by. And then you see them again. They've got like a kid. and like this fat wife, and you're like, what the hell happened to you?
What? That's what the good guys is.
And I mentioned about Prince of Persia and this dude on it from Coupling, and his character's name on Coupling was Jeff. And you're like, I don't know that. Well, that is a British comedy. It is kind of like the British Friends.
Yeah.
And because,
it was written by Stephen Moffat, actually.
You kind of like Spaced, then you might kind of like Coupling. And Jeff is like the most hilarious character on it. And I think there's like four seasons. And it's just like, you know, a quality show. But it is kind of a Friends ripoff, I think. I'm not sure which came first, but it's worth checking out at least. Go on YouTube, watch some Jeff clips from Coupling, because he's got all the funny lines. So I have a kick-ass show, guys, and I want you to just, like, you know, blow the roof off, burn the roof.
It's not an awfully mellow.
Don't put on any water on it, just let it burn. Oh, that's pathetic.
Oh, okay, Rick, thanks. Awesome.
Oh, whipping out the, shit, what was that band called? With the, we don't need no water, let the MF-er burn. Damn it. What the hell was that band called?
The Bloodhound Gang?
Bloodhound Gang!
All right. Now, Bill.
Whatever this trouble.
We're going to talk about entertainment, and I'm going to go as far as to say maybe your heart was broken a little yesterday.
Honestly, I've softened.
All right.
I've softened. I mean, it's definitely wounded. It's bleeding a little. There's some stitches.
Need some gauze or something.
Yeah, I stuffed some gauze in there.
I wonder if a ShamWow, would that help, maybe?
No, because it would just drain me of blood.
Yeah, it's so damn it keeps absorbent. Soaking in. Like, oh my god, this is the worst idea for a bandage.
It's too absorbent.
Oh, draining of blood. You're going pale. Pull that thing off.
The ShamWow's a vampire.
Awesome. That's an awesome concept. Now let's check out entertainment and talk about The Last Airbender. All right, Bill, this week The Last Airbender came out, along with that new Twilight movie. And, you know, I wasn't prepared for the level of maybe bad feedback from The Last Airbender.
Honestly, at this point, people are just being assholes to be assholes. Because, one, it's not a good movie. And, two, it's connected to M. Night.
Right.
Shyamalan.
People love to shit on that guy, honestly.
They really do. I mean, he's... He at this point, he better become like a scat fetishist with all the shit he gets.
It's like, oh, I love it. Keep dumping it on me, all right?
Yeah, I'm loving it. it's not a good movie. It's really well directed at times. Very pretty. Some of the effects aren't so good. Some of them are really good. But that's you can expect that from a very effects-heavy film.
Right.
And,
you know, the cartoon is very rich in story and characters. So it's kind of hard to... that's one thing that I was kind of worried about.
But it's also very childlike.
Right. The movie is. Or you mean...
No, the cartoon.
Okay.
Very slapsticky.
Right.
I mean, there's... I think during the entire first book, which would be the first season, there was a running gag with a guy whose cart of cabbages kept getting destroyed.
Right.
Saying, oh, my cabbages! You know, it's that kind of like off-kilter, kind of goofy, very childlike, slapsticky humor, which is completely absent in the movie. It's very serious.
Yeah.
There's like maybe three moments of that... that kind of shining through the jokiness. But that's honestly not what was important to me. What was important to me is if how well it told the story of the first season. You know, the discovery of Aang, the journey that Katara, Sokka, and Aang take to the... I think it's the Northern Water Kingdom, because Sokka and Katara are southern water. But that journey for Aang to learn from a waterbender, to master that, and the situation they get into in the Northern Kingdom. I mean, it could have been a very good story if a proper respect was paid to the story. It's almost like M. Night watched it in passing and then talked to the creators and listened to what they had to say and then just went off and wrote whatever he wanted to without really having an investment in the show.
Yeah, you basically, like, you didn't feel like, wow, he really loved this and he brought it that.
Exactly.
You can tell,
you know, that dedication Zack Snyder had for Watchmen.
Right.
That love, that complete immersion in the story, the characters, the book, the art.
You didn't feel that.
No, there was none of that.
And I almost like, you know, from things I'm hearing about it, it almost sounds like it's like maybe like a Star Wars prequel, absent of emotion. Almost.
I cannot disagree with that at all. It, in fact, after I was talking to you about it and you said it sounds like The Phantom Menace, ding, I mean, that is it. The acting is incredibly weak. I can't blame, I don't know to blame who, what. It's so confusing. Like, do I blame M. Night for not being able to pull the performances out of these kids? Mm-hmm. Do I blame the casting because these kids aren't that good to begin with?
Right.
Do I blame the script because the dialogue they were given?
Yeah, it just
wasn't
didn't
good.
Work. Now, here's the thing: is my daughter, you know, we've talked about before, she loves The Last Airbender, the cartoon. I even bought her the book one box set.
Yes.
She loves it. I hear her laughing in the other room all the time. She's cracking up. She loves the characters. And she really wants to see the movie. And all I see is these horrible reviews. And I'm like, I'm going to go take her to see this. I mean, I can't go, well, we can't go see it because
she will not experience the joy she has watching the show during the movie. None of that is there.
She might
There's
get a
no
kick
joy.
Out of seeing the characters maybe or...
That is novelty lasts for about 5 minutes, and then there's a certain boringness to it until it comes to a scene of action that you remember from the series that is now in live action, and it looks amazing.
Okay.
Like, there are moments in the film of these fight scenes that are so freaking cool that you finally get to see it on a big screen in a live action with well-done special effects that it kind of makes you appreciate it for about 5 minutes, and then it's right back into weak script, bad acting.
Wow. So I'm going to have to load her up on candy, basically, keep her busy.
Yeah. She will lose interest at times.
During when we took her to see the A-Team, you know, it isn't a kid's movie or whatever, and she played with my iPod most of the movie. It just didn't keep her interest.
But she loved The Losers.
The Losers held her attention the entire movie.
That's because The Losers is better than the A-Team. I hate to tell people this.
There's a part in The Losers where it's an off-screen kind of death of a people on like a helicopter. Do you know what I'm talking about? And when that happens, I'm like, come on, movie. I got my daughter sitting here watching this. What are you doing? You know, just to see how she handles it. And she seemed to do fine. You know, because we've told her, you know, it's just a movie. It's not real. You know, that worked with me when I was a kid. I was afraid of horror movies. My dad was like, it's not real. It's special effects. That's a rubber doll. And it helped where I could get into the movie more and then kind of like, okay, it's not real and I can watch it and just be scared and stuff like that. And it's fun. You know, it's not evil or anything like that. It's just a movie. So tomorrow I'm going to take my daughter to see this poorly rated film. But hey, I've sat through bad movies. Bill, remember that Dungeons and Dragons movie with Jeremy Irons? Let me ask you that. I could sit through that shit. Mm-hmm.
You can sit through this.
Is The Last Airbender that bad?
It's just under 2 hours. It's not a perfect film. It's not
Hey, Wayne's brother isn't in the movie, right?
No, so no, that's and good. That's an excellent benefit.
That's a blessing.
But it's watchable. See, it's the problem is that there's a good movie somewhere in there.
Yeah,
but because it wasn't material that M. Night cared about or cared enough about, it wasn't translated. Like, I will defend Lady in the Water until my dying breath. I think it is one of the most creative, entertaining, childlike wonder films to come out in the past, you know, whatever, decade.
Right.
It's just something about that movie completely and totally clicks up with me. And it's because there was a really large amount of caring that went into it. This is something he created for his children that came from his mind. And that's
Paul Giamatti carries the film too.
Yeah. And that's what's lacking in The Last Airbender is care.
Yeah.
But it is not the worst movie of the year. It is not nearly as bad as some of these people are saying it is that like to just rant and rave and get on M. Night's case.
I've read that it's like the worst movie ever made kind of shit.
Yeah.
And it's like if
and
these
that's
people
because
see
people it, like being assholes and they like to get it's that typical internet pal-on mentality.
But have these people seen an Uwe Boll film or seen Dungeons and Dragons with Jeremy
and
Irons?
And it has everything to do with M. Night. They just want to pal on.
That's very strange.
It's disgusting. And I hate that people turn it into like this personal offense. And I hope the movie makes a shitload this weekend, even though it's not that good,
you know,
it won't do well next weekend because it'll drop off, I'm betting you. But I want it to make enough money for him to say, yes, I screwed up. Give me another chance. I promise book two and book three will be better. I just want him to have that chance. Right. I don't want him to be George Lucas.
Yeah, like, hey... You asked for it. You got it. Well, at least there's no Jar Jar in the movie, right?
No. And the characters that are kind of the Jar Jar, you know, Appa, the Air Bison, so awesome to see it live action.
That is cool. I'm excited to see that.
And Momo is... Momo just made me smile. The moment I saw Momo climb up on the Aang's shoulder, I was like, Momo.
That show, the Last Airbender, is the kind of cartoon where the whole family could sit down and just have a blast. It's a great show.
Yeah, it is. It's such a fun show. I wanted to – the trailers of the movie actually got me interested in the show. And once I watched the show, I was like, this is really something special. I couldn't stop watching it. It's great for children and adults.
Yeah, I could see if you didn't watch a cartoon, you're like, who's this little bald kid? What the hell is he doing?
That's the other thing. If you're not familiar with the cartoon, it's tough.
I can imagine it looks ridiculous. You know, it's a little bald kid with an arrow on his head, and he's like,
yeah,
got powers.
And I've seen a lot of that in the reviews where people are like, you know, supposedly it's based on a great series, but you wouldn't know it from this movie.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that you read and you just want to go, F you.
Now, I'm still excited about Inception, too, even though, you know, like I said, I have no idea what's going on in there.
Yeah, no idea. I know the names of the people, like what their categories are.
Yeah,
and
it's like
you need a kick to get out of the dream. I've seen that commercial a million times.
Inception. It's called Inception. Well, what is it? It's just Inception. Check it out. What do you mean?
Just go along with it. Stop asking questions.
It's kind of dreamlike. Who's this making all this racket over here? What's going on? What the hell? Hello? Hey! Steven, the pop culture zealot!
Hey!
Hey, Steven!
Holy cow.
You made it!
I almost went back home.
You were just like, forget it.
It's like right by my house, there's an 18-wheeler that jackknifed, so they've got the freeway closed going north, going to my house.
Oh, no. How's the bandit going to get the beer to Texarkana?
Oh, he's not going to make it.
He's not making it, so.
And was it pouring rain, or is that slowed down?
Oh, it was raining when I was going home from the airport.
I thought you said pouring rain.
Nice.
I mean, I had to drive from Love Field from Dallas all the way
Good
to.
Good Lord. Well, you're here, Steven, just in time for the TiVo segment.
Woohoo!
You ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. What's on our TiVos? And thanks for that Bill Last Airbender talk.
You're welcome.
All right, Steven, say what's. Let's go to what's on our TiVo.
What's on our TiVo?
That's pretty good.
It's not you.
It's not you.
Of course, we've got our regular shows like Cake Boss, Hell's Kitchen, and that. But a new show premiered, Louis C.K.'s new show, you know, the comedian, called Louis. And I thought it was pretty damn funny.
Well, I liked him when he did his show on HBO or whatever.
I hated that show on HBO.
Yeah, I
watched that. It's like tried too hard.
Yeah, what I like about this is kind of Seinfeldish, where they do the stand-up routine and the show, but it's nothing like Seinfeld. But I'm just saying that aspect of it. And there's got some funny, really funny stuff. I like the humor in it. For instance, there's this moment where he goes on a date with this girl. He's divorced. He has two daughters. And the date, you know, it's so funny how awkward the date is. Like when he's waiting at the door, he's like banging on it. And she's like, I'll be out in a minute. I'm still getting ready. So he's just kind of standing there. And the lady next door opens the door. She goes, what are you doing out there? I'm naked. He's like, what? She goes, I'm naked here. What are you doing out there?
And I'm like, naked and I'm vulnerable.
She goes, I'm very vulnerable. And he keeps like looking at her and he's like, oh, I'm just waiting for my date. And she's like, I'm very vulnerable. Did I mention I'm naked? He's like, yeah. And he keeps standing like looking at her and she's staring at him. And she goes, why don't you just show me? You know you want me to, you want to show me, right? She's like, what? Oh my God, you're disgusting. She's like, okay. And she opens the door and shows him. She's like, you pervert. And like slams the door. So he's like banging on the door. Come on, come on. And his date's like, what is the problem? What is your problem? And I love that moment where he opens the door for her, but he like closes her in against the wall. That was great. But, you know,
it's
that
perfect awkwardness coupled with this ridiculous, you could totally believe that that happened.
And I love when he goes, so do you want to just call it off? She goes, no, let's get something. He's like, because it's been so awkward in the first 5 minutes. You want to just call this off?
He's trying to switch places with her in the doorway. He tries to move in for a kiss.
They kind of have a moment.
Like, what the hell?
She's trying to get by him, and he kind of looks at her, and he's like, goes to the awkward kiss, and he pulls away. She's like, what the? He goes, do you want to just kind of like call this off? But there's this great moment where they can't get into this place that has great food, this restaurant, so they go to just this pizza joint. She says, I gotta use the bathroom. He's like, so do I. So she's in the bathroom, and while he's standing there, this guy comes along and he's like, oh, I gotta get in there. And of course, he walks away, and she thinks he's banging on the door again, being impatient. It's pretty funny. Let's check this out.
I should go to the bathroom.
I do too. Oh, there's somebody. Christ, who's in there? Let's go! Come on! I gotta take a big dump out here! You know, hell with it. I'm gonna go in the van.
Do you have an anger problem?
No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else.
And he sounded exactly like you? Where is he? Yeah, anyway, go ahead and take your big dump. There you go.
Take your big dump, okay? I thought that was great, and I love when he's trying to he feels so insecure trying to defend himself, you know, like, well, you know, I try hard and, you know, I'm a divorced and I've got a kid. Hey, why am I defending myself? Why don't you defend yourself? You don't have anybody in your life. Do you have any kids? What do you do? And he like looks at her and it's real awkward and he goes in for the kiss again and you're like, good Lord. And then she just runs away and he's like, hey, wait. And she gets on a helicopter and the helicopter flies away. And the date's
over.
I
thought that was a good touch.
That she just gets away on a helicopter.
Yeah.
Date's over.
I gotta get out of here.
No better way to end it.
Did you see the other episode where he looks up the girl on Facebook?
Oh, my God.
That was fantastic.
He was obsessed with this girl from high school, and she's kind of like one of them hard-edged kind of
tough girls.
Yeah. She's drinking out in the woods, and he finds her, and she tells him to whip it out, and I guess he runs away and figures he'll look her up because he had a thing for her.
Yeah.
And that was when he finally finds her, and they're sitting at that dinner table. It was so uncomfortable.
I don't know if she's like, you know, she's like, I used to be hot. I'm not anymore. I've had two kids and, you know, married and all this stuff. And she's like, what? And he's like, she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, well, you told me something, and it stuck with me all these years. She's like, what? He's like, no, never mind. I got to go. And she's like, what did I tell you? You got to tell me. He's like, told me to whip it out. She's like, did you? And he goes, no, I chickened out. And then they're just staring at each other. And then, you know, she's like this overweight housewife. And, you know, she's married. She has kids. And they're looking at each other. And they just start going at it, rolling on everything, knocking stuff over. I loved it. It was just so wrong.
Yeah, and I love the conversations with the other comedians around the poker table.
Right, because they have the one gay guy, and they just ask him nothing but gay questions. He's like, every time I'm in here, you guys are asking me these questions. You guys talk more about gay stuff than I do with my gay friends. It was hilarious. I'd definitely check it out. I like it.
Yeah, and it's two episodes every night.
Yeah.
I just can't remember what night or what time, sadly.
Tuesday? I'm going to say Tuesday.
I say just look up Louie on FX.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Cake Boss, Bill. The Cake Boss.
Yeah.
Cake Boss. He does the St. Louis cake.
With the arc.
Yeah, he starts out calling it the St. Louis Arch. Then it becomes the St. Louis Arc for a while, and then it's back to the Arch.
It's like he can't make up his confused mind.
Didn't it seem off a little?
That's where I was this week.
It looked really, really amateur and ugly.
He got a metal bar, Steven, like tried like six times to bend it, and then filled it with, what do you call that, chocolate stuff? What
is modeling it? Chocolate.
The modeling chocolate and made the arc, the St. Louis arc. And it didn't look perfectly curved, you know?
No, it looked so bad. When they put it in that guy's truck and you saw like the whole like landscape shot of it, you're just like, wow, I hope that guy didn't pay a lot for that.
I'm wondering how much a cake like that costs, seriously. Or we'll comp you for being on the show. And it's like, all right.
Yeah, he said it was, what was it, a full sheet of plywood, so it was 8 feet by 4 feet.
Yeah, that was a huge cake.
Huge.
And once again, when they show Buddy, he goes, okay, who wants some cake? And I'm like, how do you cut this? Where do you make the first cut at?
I would love to see somebody make the first cut on the arch.
Yeah.
Hit steel fondant.
Hey, what the hell? I thought everything was edible.
I thought it was Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah,
you make everything else.
That should have happened.
Now, it's also Mary's twin kids. She's got a girl and a boy. It's their birthday. And she's always pestering Buddy. Like, what kind of cake you gonna make? You know, she's annoying as hell.
I am not one for violence against women, but I'm totally for violence against Mary Velostro or whatever the hell her name is.
Wow.
She is so irritating. Making this clip, I like had to like compose myself. Blood started rushing to my head. It was like scanners.
Buddy decides he's like, I'm going to ignore her. When she comes in here, I'm not going to have anything to do with this. I'm just going to keep working. And so she gets pissed because he won't just turn and look at her. So she grabs a cake that looks finished. I don't know if it's just a prop. They put it there because it's in the script. And she throws down, smashes a cake, and everyone's like, it's just disgusting behavior. Let's check this out.
They're such good actors. I couldn't tell if they were.
So for my niece and nephew's cake, I gotta make one cake that Joseph and Lucia will both like. And I'm thinking, what do a pirate and a princess have in common? And then it came to me, a treasure chest. So I got Frankie filling his cakes up with vanilla and chocolate cake and chocolate mousse.
I got my glow stick.
I was watching a movie last night. It was a pirate movie.
Oh yeah,
what? Rated R.
That was pretty stupid.
Some wild ass music.
Gay on your side of the bench.
They know they're filming a show in here. Turn the music down.
Arr, I'm gonna make y'all walk the plank.
Arr. Hope they're amusing themselves.
Well, good job, you sister Mary's gonna kill you.
Arr, pirates are not scared of nobody.
The Mary music.
The treasure chest.
Mary comes in, and I'm trying to ignore her because I just don't want to argue with her, and I don't hear it.
I'm doing a treasure chest.
And where's the other stuff for the cake? Huh?
It wasn't the most mature way to act, but I just didn't want to deal with Mary.
Do you hear that I'm talking to you? Do you need your ears checked? And this is like a big deal to me, and it's like you're not even listening to me. But he don't even listen to me. Why is he not even listening to me?
Who are you talking to?
You talking to us?
I'm ignoring her. I think she's going to walk away. And then all of a sudden...
I'm trying to talk to you. This is important to me. She's and I'm trying to talk and you're ignoring me.
Okay, I'm not going to have you come in here and throw stuff around and whatever.
You're not listening to me. You're not.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm listening to you. Now get the hell out of here.
You're not listening to me.
I'm not going to talk to you now. That's it.
All right, get out of here. Then I'm not talking
good.
To you.
Get the hell out of here.
You know what their problem is?
Pain in the ass.
Normal families, they separate when they get older. They have different jobs. His family, they all work in the same place. Yeah. It would drive me crazy, too. I'd probably be just like Buddy, honestly.
She would have had a knife buried in her chest a long time ago.
Yeah, she doesn't need to be working there. And
no.
You know, we didn't even talk about that before, but and Swiley brought it up, that how often they invoke the dead father. He's looking down on us right now. It's like, good God, man.
It's like people on reality TV shows that invoke that they had cancer.
Yeah.
Like that they were a cancer survivor. You know,
he's looking down on us.
You're going to feel bad when I get cancer again and die.
Well, it's like they always use that.
No, it's just that emotional connection that they use as a means to manipulate someone.
And the other
something.
People that are there on the show are like, well, I didn't have cancer. I guess I don't have the motivation they do.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're always like talking about how he's looking down on them and he's proud of them or whatever. He's very disappointed most of them. They sold out to the TLC channel. Ridiculous.
I honestly don't think he's paying any attention.
He's gone. Finally got away from all those people.
Yeah, I don't have time to deal with these people.
The father's somewhere making hieroglyphics.
I don't like the end when they do the pirate cake or whatever. Mary's like, well, you did a good job, and, you know, it's my job to annoy you or whatever. And
no, it's your job to shut the F up and leave me alone.
I was telling Bill.
You're getting a cake for your kids, so shut up.
I was telling Bill that if I wrote The Cake Boss, I would have had it where Anthony, he's learned at a bake, right? That would have been his first cake ever, and he's proud. He decorated it, steps out of the room. Mary comes in. She's the one. That's the cake that she ends up throwing on the ground. They show him in the back of the room. He's like, and they play the stress music. He goes out back towards the dumpster and he's crying out there. So, you know, just lay it on, man.
And then the litter Indian is waiting for him. Iron Eyes Cody.
they
hug it out.
Truck and he's frozen in there dead.
He's dead. That would be good too. But come on, that would be on the like. Sweeps week.
Or the happy ending is they bring out the actual cake that he decorated and be like, no, we were just joking. It was a prank.
Like, and then they dump some more shit
on
flour on him.
Yeah.
Once we can make that show so much better than it already is.
Just make it even more ridiculous.
Just hire us.
The FBI, you know, we need to put a bug in this cake and you deliver it to the mafia don. You know, shit like that. All sorts of crazy stuff. Now, we got the Hell's Kitchen.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
poor Salvatore. Did you guys see? He got eliminated in the first hour. You know, it's 2 hours every – the friggin' Hell's Kitchen movie every week. But
this week on the Hell's Kitchen feature film.
When Salvatore goes, it's this heart-rending speech he gives, and I don't understand a goddamn word he's saying. Let's check it out.
There is one chef that had the worst service. Salvatore, come here.
Yes, chef.
I'm making the pizza.
Out of 7 services, you've had one good one. Your time has run out.
Yes, chef.
Was it this one? Oh, no, it wasn't.
Thank you. Good night.
Hey, read the ditch.
You mess up.
I'm not done yet.
So. Yeah, I'm mad that I left, but at the same time, you know, I messed it up 2-3 times in a row, so I deserve to go home.
Huh?
And it was the right decision. Grazie a tutti. Ciao.
Say again, what? Oh, okay.
Did he say Ratatouille?
Ratatouille.
Goodbye, Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
Ciao.
He must have watched that movie and went, I can be your chef if a rat can.
As they say in Sicily, Ratatouille.
It's like, amazing the way the rat talk is so much.
I love how the rat to sound like Patton Oswalt.
It's like, what do you...
Ratatouille. Ciao.
Ratatouille? What the hell is that? Okay, well, also on Hell's Kitchen, Siobhan, she made this great sandwich.
They really should have used.
They had to vote because they had one too many. Like, which sandwich do you not want? And they're like, Siobhan. She's standing there with her sandwich. My sandwich is good. So she has to
take a bite of it.
And he's like, well, we have a tie. I guess we'll check out Siobhan's sandwich. And he tastes it, and he's like, too bad. Should have used it. You would have won. The blue team. And she's like, oh. So this is her. She's bitching about the friggin' sandwich. And that guy, Ben, I got to say, he is a dick, isn't he?
He is an asshole. It's like he reminds me of, like, someone in high school that – thinks they're better than everyone else on their debate team.
And he, like, knocks on her every chance he gets. Like, well, if Spawn's doing it, we're screwed. But then they get a reward, the other team, the blue team, and they get to go drink wine. And they get really wasted, Steve. Let's check this out.
Tired of being underestimated. Tired of it. I'm sick of it. And I'm pissed off.
Oh my God. He said
he liked my sandwich better than Fran's. My sandwich would have won it for us.
Siobhan lacks a lot of confidence, but I think she's getting pissed off. Sometimes that's what people need.
There's a snake in there.
That'll sneak behind you.
They didn't want to be up there.
My
team can go f*** themselves because my sandwich was better than Fran's.
Hey, Siobhan, if you want to win, we got to win as a team. We need to make sure that the best food goes up there. Okay.
I knew mine was one of the best.
Okay. Your sandwich, not good. Your dish got voted off. I would not serve that sandwich out of my kitchen.
That's fine. Okay. That's your personal opinion.
It's not my personal opinion. It's my professional opinion. When I tell you something, it's not because I'm trying to undercut you, but you don't have the experience that I have. And if you don't know what you're doing and you just start putting stuff together and you need to ask for help, you need to do that. I'm purely confident in my decision.
You need to take a step down, get off your podium, and stop being a bossy bastard.
Cheese, pineapple, oranges, and tuna do not go together.
It went together on mine. I'm confident in what I did, and that's the end of it.
Sounds delicious.
You guys obviously have it out for me, and I don't really give a. They all think they're better than me. Them.
Like Chef is brutally honest. I'm brutally honest too.
While Benjamin and Siobhan take a break from their ongoing battle, the blue team enjoys a lesson in blending Rosemount wines.
Let's look at the first one, that Grenache. Have a bit of a taste of that. Try that. Wonderfully fruit-driven Grenache. Layers of flavor.
Delicious. Yeah. Awesome. Small sips. You don't have to drink it all.
Oh, jeez. What I need you to do then is try the roast and steak GSM.
Oh, it was my dog. She was giggling about
I want to hear
everything.
That sommelier strawberry.
That's all she did was smile, giggle. Giggle, smile.
Bitch, getting drunk.
20-pound disadvantage.
Wow. A 20-pound disadvantage. Where's that?
I've never seen her like this since we've lived together.
Man, she's drunk.
I swear to God.
We've lived together a whole
By
week
far
and
the
I haven't
most
seen
amazing
her drunk
challenge
yet.
Award huh? ever in the history of Hell's Kitchen. I believe Autumn had the most to drink. She definitely was a little on the crippled side.
You're such a lightweight, aren't you?
It's all true. I'm drunk. That's the way it is. I don't weigh that much. It's not my fault.
Matt, thank you. Well done, yeah.
Great.
Well done.
Thank you, Rob.
No worries. Well done,
you. The blue team came back, and they were so drunk. They couldn't even speak. They were so drunk. Woo. I'm so pissed right now. It's funny. We had a great time. It was a great bonding experience. I feel really great going into the next inner challenge, and
inner challenge.
No more drinks for Autumn. The blue team's a little hungover today.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
God. God, I'm finally going to kick their
God damn, dude. That was pretty gross. But they showed, of course, that dude get really drunk in the hot tub and take off his
clothes.
Doing
the helicopter.
Yeah. Wow. So,
what is it with guys like that that think when they're drunk that people want to see their junk?
See my penis. It's like, don't encourage this asshole. Okay, you guys. Yeah. But they're like, yeah, okay, show us your penis.
He just stands there with it out, and they're like, okay, well.
He's like, here it is. And I think it's funny. He's like, why do you look like that? It's just a penis.
I can do a trick. Come on.
He's like, I'm drunk. And I love that.
I could make a jump through a hoop. Yours.
What? That's pretty much what he's like. And it's funny because he's like so laid back. Or he's like really just a quiet guy, isn't he? Is that what they were saying? Anyway, that's gross.
I love the puke and then the hiccup.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Oh, just that wrenching sound.
I think it was Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Now, this week also had one thing I love, and it's when one of the people, the patrons of Hell's Kitchen, decide, I'm going to go up there and complain.
Someone who hasn't quite gotten the break in Hollywood that he's been wanting.
Yeah, and you love how the guy's like, he's got this face like, oh, this is just ridiculous. This food is wrong. And
service.
So he whips out the Rodney Dangerfield line from Caddyshack.
Which was?
The low-grade dog food.
Oh, yeah. Let's check this out. I always love how Ramsey just dismisses him right away. It's like, get the hell out of here.
While Siobhan is relegated to desserts by Ben, in the dining room, one customer...
Is it cooked?
Rare at best.
I asked for medium, and that's rare, completely.
Oh, dear.
Decides to take matters into his own hands.
Oh, no. This is bad.
So sweet. Please, too big. Jesus, who is this man throwing food on our plate? What's the matter? Well, talk to me. Look at me. Excuse me. Hey. Don't come in here acting like jumped up like some little gym bunny. Now do me a favor.
Jim
That's
bunny.
His job. You f*** off. Yes?
You're trying to poison me?
Poison you? What a f***. It's beef, you f***. You eat tartar. You've never heard of that, have you?
It's low-grade beef.
Don't ever shave, you f***.
Low-grade dog.
Let's go. Standing there like some f*** jerk. Stand strong, buddy. Stand nice and strong. Push your arms out. You look like a f***ing whale.
So he was complaining that he was going to be poisoned by the raw beef?
Raw beef.
Wow.
They honestly shouldn't even gave the guy airtime.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I'm totally going to be on Hell's Kitchen. It's awesome.
This is going to be great, man. Oh, my God. Raw meat.
Too bad he didn't have some fava beans and Chianti.
Well, at least Siobhan got kicked off the show. Cause,
yeah, I don't look at her mug anymore.
Her name drives me nuts, too.
Sioban! Sio has been banned.
I know you just got here, Steven, but I'm ready to take a break, and we'll be right back. What do you say?
Okay.
Sound good? All right, Bill, we'll be right back. Awesome.
Come on! I gotta take a big dump out here!
Watch Zelda become a legend on your Nintendo Entertainment System.
Zelda!
Which way to go?
Good time.
Pee-pee-pee head.
Leavers.
Zelda!
The Legend of Zelda. A never-ending adventure new for your Nintendo Entertainment System.
Zelda!
Marshmallow Krispies, lots of fruity marshmallow shits. Did you slap the crackle pop in over lots of fruit taste?
Wow!
Fruity marshmallow Krispies, orange, lemon, raspberry, grape. It's snap, crackle, and pop in with lots of fruit taste.
New Kellogg's Fruity Marshmallow Krispies, part of this complete breakfast.
Mmm, how fruity!
Fruity marshmallow Krispies, you'll be snap, crackle, pop in over lots of fruit taste.
No matter where you are, with bum rustlers, it's just like being in a wrestling ring. With Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
One, two, three, pin!
Wherever you are, it's like real wrestling action. With Junkyard Dog and Bulldog. Bum rustle anywhere with Hulk and the Iron Sheik.
Okay, kids, back to class.
Rustle anywhere with wrestling superstars, bum rustlers, new from LJN.
Mr. Fogatumor goes round and round. The ice cream.
muffins pack. Oh, that chocolate and vanilla round the strawberry core. With the chocolate in back, who can ask for more? Just the funky cube goes round and round. It's the ice cream treat you can't pin down.
Now in your grocer's freezer.
What do you think?
Have you ever tasted Crystal Pepsi?
No, actually I haven't. It doesn't really taste like Pepsi.
What do you think?
Well, I do, just take a sip. It's hard to explain, it's just...
It isn't anything like California white wine.
I'm embarrassed here.
What's it like?
Nice lemony zing taste.
What do you think?
It's not as heavy.
Less syrupy.
I'm sweating. I love it. It's refreshing.
Clear taste.
It's different. Would you like to take a bath in it? Seriously.
What do you think?
Whoa, 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 wonderful. You fill him up with water.
Waterfalls are the wacky water games you fill up, then play all day.
Whoa, 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 waterfalls. Give the button a push. Whoa, 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 waterfalls. And watch him make a big whoosh.
I'm a star at Starbucks.
I'm Tic Tac Terrific.
Waterfalls, Wee Waterfalls, and Pocket Waterfalls, all from Milton Bradley.
Hold that car, Jason.
You are the driver with Tyco's new video driver. With Video Driver, you're in an action-packed chase, racing down the highway. Stay on the road, or you lose points.
Where'd it go? There!
Stay sharp and think fast, because with Video Driver, you're really driving.
Yeah!
Video Driver works with your VCR. Other adventures sold separately. New from Tyco.
Now, you can have your own special Captain Planet adventure with your favorite Planeteers. There's Wheeler, who has the power of fire, and the daring Linka with the power of wind. You can even use the Planeteer's eco-cycle. And your own power rings will let you call Captain Planet. Bring him to the rescue and save the Earth. Captain Planet and the Planeteers, now available at Kmart.
Man your battle stations.
Man your battle stations.
It's electronic talking battleship from Milton Bradley. So real, it really talks.
Battleship armed.
Battleship armed.
We're talking instant programming, free skill levels, and only Milton Bradley's got them.
Carrier hit.
Carrier hit.
Against the computer or opponent, your mission, sink the enemy's fleet.
Battleship sunk.
Battleship sunk.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Electronic talking battleship and original battleship, only from Milton Bradley.
Oh, Pac-Man, I'm beat.
Thank goodness for new Pac-Man pasta from Chef Boyardee.
New Pac-Man pasta?
Little spaghetti shaped like us.
Delicious.
And because Chef Boyardee is packed with goodness, it's great for when we have to eat and run.
New Pac-Man pasta from Chef Boyardee. With meatballs? Without meatballs? Or chicken flavor?
Thank goodness for new Pac-Man pasta.
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
And a whole lot more.
Want a whole lot more? You can get a Wild Puffalo free with 200 proofs of purchase from Kool-Aid Drink Mix.
Don't monkey around.
Details in the coupon section of July 19th Sunday newspaper.
You can? You can.
Fun.
I can't bear it.
A baby bird is called a nestling. Name a fruit that rhymes with reach.
Yeah. Oh, no, you got it, buddy. You're going all the way back.
Question and answer game for the whole family.
It's a
Milton Bradley game.
It's the yum yum fun that is cool and keen. And its name is the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine. You put ice cubes in and get a snow cone.
Some assembly required, and you mix the fudge flavor.
It's yummy, Snoopy.
It's the yum yum fun that is cool and keen. And its name is the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine.
Snoopy Snow Cone Machine comes with everything you see here from Hasbro.
Attach Fun Fountain to a garden hose, and this summer you can be ready for some cool, splashing, surprising water fun. The Fun Fountain hat whirls high on a cool stream of water. With Cool Splashing Fun Fountain, you and your friends can splash and dash and have cool water fun with Fun Fountain. It's surprising. Fun Fountain from Wemo.
Mm-hmm.
a great time I had.
Ah, yes, me too. Good times. I feel so refreshed. Just in time to talk about Top Chef. Hey! Top Chef. Now, in this Top Chef, I think it started out, didn't they make them do desserts?
What was
it? No, they made them all make pie.
Yes, it was the pastry thing.
Yeah. Right, and then they had to do a picnic kind of thing, like cook out on a grill in George Washington's home.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Mount Vernon.
And I kind of made a Tracy-centric clip here to kind of show her journey throughout this episode. Remember, she's going to make her own sausage at first.
Yes.
That doesn't go right, so she decides to make sausage
pork sliders.
Sliders, yeah.
I kind of expected that because she's not a big fan of the sausage.
Well, did you know, when they showed the lumps of meat, did you notice all the, what do you call those little things sticking on the, what are those little things sticking on the meat? I forget what they're called, but they mention them. But I hate, like, getting one of those and you bite into it. Like,
oh, yes. The fennel seeds.
Right. Is it like what's in rye bread?
Yes. No. Right. Well, yes. No.
They look look like little watermelons.
In rye bread is a caraway seed.
Oh, okay.
A fennel seed is normally found in, like, sausage and tomato sauce.
She didn't prepare it right, did she? I mean, it just kind of
put way too much fennel. She put way too much spices in it.
I think they said some of it had no fennel seeds, and others had way too much. So, and also there's that girl, I think her name is Amber, the one who makes the ribs. And they're giving her a hard time, like, how'd you prepare it or whatever, like second guessing her. And then she turns out
her like shit, basically.
And then it turns out she makes great ribs. But there's this great moment also where she puts her name on an oven, and that goofy-looking bald dude uses
the guy that looks like a serial killer or a child rapist.
Yeah, he gets all pissed off. He's like,
hey, what'd you do? She goes, I put my name on it. He's like, well, no, you didn't. And they kind of – but the funny thing, I have that on this clip. What happens while they're arguing, Tom Colicchio comes in. He's like, hey, how's everybody doing? And you can hear him yelling in the background. Yeah. Let's check this out. It's hilarious. Good time stuff. Yeah. What am I doing here? Oh, here we go.
Sugar snap peas. That's right. Put your back into it. What the f***? I love me. Look at me go. Look at me go.
Tracy is
a crazy lesbian.
She's just talking, chatting, talking.
She's basically the Rosie O'Donnell of Top Chef.
Put back into it. I'm having some issues with my grinder.
I'm grinding and grinding. I'm never going to have time to stuff the sausage. No way. I might get it ground and mixed, and that's it. Well, I'm not going to be able to case this sausage, but I'm still going to have sausage meat. So I decided, hey, I'm going to do a Italian sausage slider with a Vidalia onion and bell pepper relish. That sounds great.
Mm. I'll get my own cheap pan.
Whoa, hey, whose stuff is this?
I had it in there before anything was in there. It was
but my name was on it. First thing.
No, it wasn't.
Guess it was.
It was not.
In an announcement before, I yelled.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Right here. I yelled.
Hey, what's up? I can't believe you took it out of my oven. You're such a... Why would you do that?
Because I labeled that one.
How's it going?
Good.
Just as I was walking in before, there was a lot of shouting going on.
I labeled an oven, and then there was another braise going on, and so I took it out.
Okay, but are there any labels on the oven for
you? No, but generally we've labeled ovens, like that was mine.
Just asking.
Prison rules.
Prison rules. I've never been to prison. I don't know how those rules are.
Well, neither have I, but...
Okay, I'll let you get back to work.
All right, thanks, Chef.
You know, I taste my dish together, balls. And it's good. I mean, the flavor's there. I mean, you can't call me out on that, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's so tender.
Although she's like, all the food is fantastic.
When I start tasting some people's dishes, everybody's food is good. Everybody's. There's not one bad dish. Nothing.
Not a taste of anything.
Oh, I guess they won't eliminate anyone this week.
Well, I think we know who we need to talk to at judges' table. So.
Let's shut the show down. Nobody made bad food.
Things about your present and things about your future.
Yeah, I'm psychic. Psychic is a broad word. I'm clairvoyant. I'm not psychic.
Three major issues. My psychic readings are probably, I would say, 85% on the money. Your husband is going to go in a new direction.
My clairvoyant.
You are freaking
Wait, did you catch what she told that
he's
lady?
He's going to take a left turn instead of a right.
Yeah, she goes, your husband, I figured out what she does here. She takes straight women and says, your husband, he's going to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm available. and I'm going to turn you gay.
Because I'm very manly.
Can you imagine that? She tells these straight women, she's like, something, you're going to change something about yourself very soon.
Yes.
And that's her pickup line.
Oh, man, I just had a line. I'm not going to say it.
Nothing.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Did you just read her pump?
No.
She's got a good racket completely. Going on.
Other chefs love that I'm psychic. How entertaining is that?
No, you they don't. Me. They're lying to you.
Well, dude, how could I not ask you after you laid it out like that? You baited me.
Laid, baited. What are they talking about?
Are the most disappointing dishes of today's picnic. Tracy, are you surprised to be here?
No, I'm not surprised to be here.
When you're doing your mise en place, did you taste it?
I tasted it.
And did you think you should have crushed the fennel first with the spices?
Maybe I should have crushed the fennel. I did taste it. There were probably, you know, burgers that had a lot of fennel seed. There was probably burgers that didn't have a lot of fennel seed.
My patty also was actually really pink. I mean, not even pink, really raw.
That's because I'm all about the pink.
If that's what you call Italian food, then it's almost insulting to Italians. Me being one.
Oh, sorry. Offended Colicchio.
Part of being a top chef is that when things go wrong, that's when you pull inside yourself and figure out how to fix it.
Wow, when you have Waxman lecturing you, basically. Man.
And chefs should never do that.
Tracy, you started out with an idea to do Italian food and left us with white bread and slimy onions and peppers. All right, wasn't a good day for American chefs.
You've shamed
Tracy,
us all.
Please pack your knives and go.
When you have Jonathan,
they just cut her head off.
When Jonathan Waxman is telling you what you did wrong and how you failed as a chef, you got to just take that to heart. Like, I want to, you know how sometimes they're like, well, I got to just, you know, keep my head on right. And it's like, I think I'm going to try a different line of work. I'm
done with start questioning your career.
I think I'm going to be working construction.
Yeah. Truck driving. I'm going to try
truck
that
driver.
Out.
I know that I can mix concrete really well.
Yeah.
No, I'm she can't because she can't mix the fennel seeds in there, right? So
there's something wrong with that concrete.
Yeah.
But what is that? That
there's
thing?
Not enough rocks in this. And
she says, I'm psychic. Well, no, I'm not psychic. I'm clairvoyant. It's like, huh?
Yeah, she knows she's full of shit.
My psychic readings are probably, I would say, 85% on the money.
Did she see that she was getting kicked off the show?
Yeah, I know. Why don't you know that? That's a funny thing. Like Penn and Teller say, he goes, a psychic has never predicted the lottery numbers and become a millionaire. Why doesn't that happen? You know, oh, that's not how it works. Oh, okay.
That's, you know, it's like, psychic.
That's, it seems like it would be pretty helpful. Now, let's talk about work of art. Hey, this week they did shocking art.
Shocking art.
And they have that guy that I forgot his name already.
I wasn't shocked by any of that shit.
No. You know, I felt embarrassed.
Andrea's, Serrano. Andrea Serrano.
Right.
Andrea Serrano, yeah.
Piss Christ guy.
When that one girl, we'll play this in a second, but that girl does her – she wants to do something really good for Serrano, and she does, like, the Last Supper. Mm. I felt really bad for her. It was, like, cartoon. Yeah. There's nothing shocking about it. It seemed really kind of, like, cute.
Well, it was shocking in her mind.
It was cute because she thought it was shocking. Look, they're, like, Playboy bunnies, and they have knives. It's like – oh,
Jesus
cutie.
Has to really watch his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you cutie. You've never been out of the house much, have you?
Have a bunch of people having sex on the Last Supper table. Call it Lust Supper or something, you know?
Yes.
Wow, Steven, you should be on this show.
I was thinking just like, why don't you label it something to make it seem more shocking?
My favorite thing is what they do here is when they introduce this Serrano guy, they kind of have each of them talking about like, oh, he's here? He'll understand me, that kind of thing. Yeah. And like, I'm going to do something really good. It's just funny how full of shit they are as they're talking about what they're going to do. Let's check this out.
It is my great pleasure to introduce you to the man behind these extraordinary works, the great, great Andres Serrano.
I'm extremely surprised to see Andreas Serrano. Even standing there looking at his work, it just didn't dawn on me that he might actually be there. And I'm excited because I feel like finally there's somebody like me that is probably going to understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, yeah.
Andreas, can you tell the audience about your body of work?
Kindred spirits.
Well, I like to make pieces that make people feel something. Any reaction is better than indifference.
Andreas is known for art that shocks the viewer.
For your challenge, we want you to create your own shocking piece of art.
God. Shocking.
Well, I'm very excited about this challenge.
I did something with electricity.
Work isn't shocking per se.
Cattle prod.
It'll scare your average suburban housewife.
I'm not really into making shocking artwork. Being gay, people are always noticing everything you do anyway.
Oh,
so
oh come on.
Unnecessary attention by doing shocking things.
What?
Andres, any advice for artists?
Well, you didn't really express
I would say that the most shocking work sometimes is not shit, even meant to be shocking. I've worked with death. I've worked with menstrual blood. I've worked with the Klan. In the last year, I did a show called...
Gross?
This is what it all boils
Wait,
down to,
the
really.
Clam?
Life,
Klan.
Politics.
Oh.
It's all the same.
Buddy was a big seafood
way,
lover.
Everything is relative. People in general, they always think that their is the best. So I was just saying, if you want to see some real come check out my because I know I've got the best in town.
Thumbs up.
Oh, thank you.
Yo, I just remembered something that when Neo... Who I thought her name was Now last week, like Now.
Right? No. Hey.
But she's in her weird plastic shit, Bill.
Yes.
And she's like, holding something. And he's like, is that a bag of shit? She's like, I don't know. Maybe because I don't smell anything. It's like, what?
You know, she probably would have won if it was a bag of shit. But it wasn't. It
she
was just brown paint.
Instead of just sitting there and rubbing it all around on her.
Yeah. I just could have sworn when she was, you know, when they first, they're all standing there and the judges are there and they keep like cutting to her like, what the yes. hell is
that? She's standing with that mesh bag on her head.
I thought she had like a hamburger on her head. I was like, is that a hamburger?
I'm waiting for someone
she
to go.
She had tomatoes saran wrapped to the tops of her feet.
I was waiting for somebody to say, who invited this crazy bitch? Where'd she come from?
Her, her shit was so bad. And when she goes, well, I'm mostly a performance artist. And they show, like, they keep showing the same shit where she's, like, choking herself. It's like.
She puts a bag of water on her head.
I guess what that Serrano Hopefully guy that, says, he goes, any reaction's better than indifference. I'm totally indifferent to everything she does.
What she didn't even know what she was doing. Like, it was so embarrassing for her for somebody to go, so what is your piece?
Well, she's like, well, it's still in transition kind of a, you know what I thought was really just that guy Miles, he's like, I'm gonna do a Mickey Mouse of anuses and penises. It's like, first of all, this dude is way too into the anus, am I right?
Yeah. And his anuses were really detailed.
Yeah, like way too much. Like he'd drawn them a lot in his time. But then he's like, I got to add something special to this. So he goes to the bathroom.
I was You know what I was hoping he was going to do was...
defecate
on him? No. I thought it would have been better if he'd have done a light wash of making it look like Mickey over it.
Like actual Mickey Mouse,
instead
of just a mouse head shape or whatever. Because no one gets.
Well, I don't think he could get away with that for.
Oh yeah, they probably go. We can't show that on the. You know, with Disney sues everybody, you know. But basically, what he goes to the bathroom and he pleasures himself on the picture, and it's just ridiculous. It's just stupid.
That's silly.
And I was did you tell any of the people who hung your art that you did that? Because I wouldn't freaking touch it after that.
He didn't. They were like that one, the Chinese chicken lady. What the hell's her name? Chicken Chow? Chow? China Chow.
China Chow, yeah.
She was like pointing things out, and I wanted to say, honey, there's semen on that.
Don't touch that.
Don't touch the artwork.
Yeah, I'm surprised by how much none of them, they've got nothing. Like, the one gay guy is like, well, I'm gay and everyone knows everything I do, so.
And it's so shocking to want to suck yourself off, so I'm going to do a picture of it.
I have a friend who can give himself oral pleasure.
I loved how he told the one photographer, and the guy was like, hell, I'd never leave the house if I could do that. He's like, yeah, that's real shocking.
But he did that horrible cartoony cutout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just stupid.
Well, I mean, and everybody went for the sex shock value instead of, you know.
That one guy with the beard.
Except for the one Christian lady, you know.
But the one guy with the beard, he was like, Serrano, hey, he'll understand me. He does the thing about, like... priests molesting boys.
Oh, that was so bad.
With the big feet and little feet, and then it says like sex education. That is like high school shit, is it not?
Yeah.
And
but just seeing 2 feet stick out, that doesn't mean anything You know, if there'd have been a little altar boy outfit laying over the edge of the bed.
It still would have been like
they
said. Or
maybe like an altar boy outfit in like priest robes.
Yeah, but it's still.
Give us some context, the whole not just idea, a glowing cross.
I thought the whole idea was stupid. And like they said, this is like an album cover, you know? It's like, what are you trying to do here?
Well, you know, Serrano, you know, they used the blood and semen for Metallica's load, so I think that's what he was going for.
And that is shocking when you find out what it is. Like, what am I looking at here? Oh, it's semen. They're, you know, kind of thing. And I thought Abdi's bomb heads were a really cool idea.
You know,
I just wanted to...
bomb heads.
I thought they were... Like, I saw them, and I thought they were like those petrified, shrunken heads.
I guess the only reason
you see
I
in
knew...
a museum?
The only reason I knew it was a bomb is because he told us what we were he was
now,
making.
Now, they had some... They had the... I really like the features on the faces, though. I thought it was
his ode to Beetlejuice.
If they would have had like a fuse sticking out of them, that would have been cool.
Well, they did.
Yeah, instead of a pop cap with a candle wick.
Remember, it just had a thing. It didn't have much of it, but I mean, like a dramatic fuse sticking out. Maybe.
Or if they had like made it look like a pipe bomb sticking out of the top of the head or something.
Just, you know.
It needed a little more.
TNT written on the side. I don't know. Something.
Instead of just a, like a. 2x4 with them tacked to it, and it didn't look like a complete. I got nothing from it. I just looked at it and went, yeah, okay.
I thought it was a cool idea, but I guess that Serrano guy liked it too. He's like, hey, I'll take it with these contestants or whatever. But the person
I can't stand the most is the hipster, that Peregrine, because she's wearing that terrible outfit with the bunny ears.
Oh,
the entire episode.
What is she doing?
I was just like, how can people even put up with that shit?
I don't even remember what she did. What did she do?
She did the, she was trying to do the models. At first, she tried to do the Serrano thing with the Siamese twins. But then she was like, oh, maybe I should just do, like, you know, syphilis by, or Prada syphilis
or something.
But she wound
up making almost... It was the same outfit the woman that was there the day before.
That's my dress.
That's my collar. That's my dress. And it's like, I almost would have been offended. You know?
I'm just so surprised by what they don't have strong ideas. And I guess the only interesting thing that happened is the one girl who project she decides to take her clothes off. She did the pictures of herself. Well, I was going to say,
someone that is so like, into the whole feminist movement, she sure does like to show herself off.
And they always show people walking her. I got to use the bed. Oh, hey, what's up? You know, she's like, I'm taking pictures of myself.
Instead of putting a sign on the door, in here doing a shoot.
Now, the thing that I thought.
Please
was
knock his, first.
The guy with the beard, I can't remember his name. The guy who thinks he's a really good artist and people don't understand him.
Is it Mark?
Maybe. I just
the little dark headed guy? The
guy with the beard.
Yeah,
he has the tattoos all over his.
The guy that had the head
sex
injury
education.
Looks like he had one.
Sex education.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She's like, what could I do with these pictures? And he's like, hey, why don't you have people write what they think of you on their marker or whatever? And she's like, ooh, that's a good idea. Well, later on, when the judges are there, they're like, we really like that idea. You know, that was cool how people wrote what they thought of you. They're judging you. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, well, when I had that idea or whatever, and you see him, he's like, dude, what the? And they're like, dude, what's wrong over here? And he's like, well, that was actually my idea or whatever. She goes, no, I had the idea too.
Whatever. I felt bad for her because I thought that was really tacky for him to bring something up like that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's one thing to swallow your pride and just kind of mention to her, like, you know, I really didn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but don't bring it up in a public setting like that.
In front of the Serrano guy, too.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And
also, I thought what he said was get some magic markers and have us all write down what we think of you.
Right.
I think she took that and said, I'll just take the markers and have the audience write what they think of me. I think she took a decent idea and made it better. I think that's why she claimed ownership of it.
Right. I mean, he didn't touch her artwork. It's just an idea.
Yeah, he was saying that just those in the room there that night, the gallery, or not the gallery room, but where they were working, just the artists up there write down what they thought. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a clip here of where he's kind of like giving her a hard time. She doesn't always say, honestly, I almost thought that like, she was kind of like petrified when they were asking her directly. And yeah. She just kind of reacted. She wasn't like, well, it was all my idea. Kind of like the girl on Top Chef. She didn't say anything like that.
It's a tough group to be in front of. It's like you're in the firing line, you know?
Yeah. If you've ever had your stuff critiqued or whatever, it's kind of hard, especially if they're looking right at you. And then he's like, well, that was my idea. Let's check this out.
When they said that jar of markers and allowing people to write on your work of art is what made your piece, without it you fail. Uh-huh. Where did you get that idea?
So because you simply suggested it, because you shout out all the time without anybody
just
ever
trying
asking.
To help.
No, seriously.
If you consider
that,
what I do, shouting out without people asking, don't ever look me in the eye and ask again.
I don't.
Because that is what you did.
It's something that I'd already been
thinking
about.
So my point is,
it
doesn't matter who thought of it. It matters that if I'm shouting things out that you don't want to hear, don't ask me for advice.
See, I don't think she wasn't even thinking about having anybody write on it, you know, honestly.
You know what? His pride was hurt. Because they had critiqued his work before hers. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to earn back some pride. Like, I had a good idea, even though my piece was amateur shit.
They were like, dude, don't put any words on it. He goes, no, I'm going to put words on it. They're like, why did you put words on it? It's like, it looks like a poster or something. And everything this guy shows, you know, he talks about he's an artist. You know, he's not in the art crowd, but maybe they'll understand what a good artist I am. Everything I've seen looks so amateurish, you know?
Yeah.
Looks weak.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, I'm interested.
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
I really like it.
What about the other dude that did the strangulation piece of himself?
That was making my stomach turn. He's like, it looks like a load on my face. You know what the funniest part is? When the guy, the prim and proper guy comes in, let's see how your project's going. He's like, well, here I'm strangling myself. Looks like somebody, you know, did something to me. Or he's like,
did I do it to myself?
And he's like, he goes, maybe people will be turned on by this. He goes, are you turned on by this?
Are people really shocked by ejaculation? I mean, come on.
It's more like just grossed out by the dude. He's doing, you know, he's taking a picture of himself and putting a cord around his. Ooh, yeah. There's nothing like.
Again,
I don't know.
You know, sexual.
You should have put Brooks was here.
It's just so
in
easy.
At the top
isn't
of it?
Isn't it easy to go there? That's the gay guy. They say, dude, if you're gonna. Why do a cartoon of a guy sucking himself off? Why don't you do yourself? Like, take a picture of yourself. I wanted him to go, well, I tried it, and I couldn't do it.
My reach wouldn't reach.
But it would have been – here's what I always think of what I would do. Like, if you're going to do that, like, make it look like something else. And then when you, like, closely, like, turn your head, like, oh, that's a dude sucking himself off. But it looks like something completely else at first glance, you know? You know, but I guess they don't have time to
eat. You know what? That's a really good idea. In fact, that's more artistic than anything that was on the show. I'm just going to go sit in a corner and pet a bag of brown matter.
That dude Miles gets on my nerves so much, though. That dude Miles. And, you know, he's the neurotic guy. But the scenes to, I guess, 2 weeks from now. I guess everybody's taking 4th of July week off or something. But they're like, is there a romance blooming? I was like, please tell me no.
Yeah, he's such a
kid's
a douche. And that girl's so cute and innocent.
Yeah, don't spend any time with that guy. Now, guys, Entourage is back, huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, Entourage.
I would rather watch loads on screens instead of Entourage.
Dude, I gotta tell you, man, there are scenes in this that are so flat. Like, what the scene where Johnny Drama, I mean, okay, we've seen, there's times where he's mentioned being on 90210 or something. It's funny. But he mentions, like, he's going out for the new Fall Guy remake. And I think it's supposed to elicit kind of a funny reaction. It's not. It falls flat. Like, they're doing a Fall Guy remake.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what a waste of a good actor in William Fincher.
I know. He's like his buddy who's trying to help him out or whatever. And the turtle stuff. He has a limousine service now.
Oh, who the freaking A cares about turtle anymore?
And he's like, likes this girl. Every scene.
Dumbass girl that doesn't know. I mean,
any scene with turtle goes longer than 30 seconds.
Ay, Mohinder, my eyes are turning black.
Any chick that, you know, that uses that to, you know, it's like, I'm always lost, you know, I can't get there on time.
I would have loved to have been in that writing room where they said, okay, what's Turtle's new job? Oh, he's renting out the cars that Vince buys him for his birthday. Genius!
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. Each one was Turtle 1, Turtle 2, Turtle 3, Turtle 4. Ugh. They were the cars that Vince would buy him every year for his birthday.
Oh, right. Okay. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
You got more of it than I did.
Maybe I've watched the show too much.
But there's also the Nick Cassavetes is the director of Vince's new action movie. And he wants
That would happen.
He wants Vince to do his own stunts. You know, my only thing is whenever they do these guest stints by an actor, it's always funny to make them real assholes cussing people out all the time. But they've done it like a million times, haven't they? Everybody. It's some crazy guy, like they have Eric Roberts or, you know, Gary Busey or whatever, or Bob Saget cusses a lot and it's supposed to be funny. They're always they always cuss out Ari or whatever, or treat him like shit or whatever. But here's a scene here where Nick Cassavetes is pissed off because Ari is trying to shut down the fact that Vince does his own stunts. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you really think Ari told the studio?
Fucking piece of shit.
I just can't believe that he'd go against both of us.
Yeah, what a shock, huh? It looks good, Mikey. Thank you.
Well, I guess we'll go back to using the double. Mikey.
Vince, you're a big boy. You want to do the stunt, you do it. You got all the power.
Come on,
the studio wants you for 3 movies right now. You do what you want. You just got to put your foot down.
Yeah, except...
When Sean Penn wanted to do She's So Lovely With Me, he wanted to jump through a plate glass fucking window. Not fucking fake glass, real fucking glass. You think the studio wanted him to do it? You think the insurance companies weren't going crazy? Sean basically had to quit the film to get what he wanted. And you know what?
He did it?
He did it. Goddamn right. Sean's no bitch.
So I guess this whole story arc is Vince not wanting to be a pussy anymore, I guess. And do it
himself.
Yeah,
he wants to be a team player.
Right. And then there's the scene where he does the stunt. He does the jump and he crashes through the wall. And they're all like, Vince! And they're running. Did you care at all if he was dead?
I was hoping the car would explode.
No. I didn't care. And when he's like, he's okay.
Stumbles out.
And... Yeah. Hey, let's do it again. Is it possible Entourage has been on for way too many seasons? They got nothing anymore?
That's rhetorical, right?
Honestly. Don't answer that question.
Well, you know, like you said, it's interesting when a new person comes to Hollywood, you know, and they get all this success real fast. Okay, boom, done. Okay.
Yeah, the story's over.
Why don't they do different Entourages? Why does it always have to be these 5 losers?
Wait, how many times have we seen drama stressing about his career? And there's that 4 scene where he goes to talk to Ari. He's like, hey, you got to save me, Lloyd. He can't. I want this job. And he's like, sorry, I don't think there's much I can do.
Sorry, so, drama, you suck.
They're going to set up that drama's going to quit acting, I guess, or something.
He's going to move back to Jersey or wherever the hell they come from.
Yeah.
Open
I guess
a sandwich shop.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on the rest.
I love sandwiches.
When Entourage comes back, we'll see what else happens. Now, let's talk about Penn and Teller. I'm very excited about all this. Let's talk about Penn and Teller bullshit. But Entourage is the heroes of our weekly shows now. I'm going to just say
it.
It wouldn't
becoming.
Be complete without us complaining about how freaking awful it is.
There will be like one
like,
laugh
why are we
or
still
something.
Watching this?
But I'm serious. I don't give a flying shit if Turtle finds love in any shape or form.
I would love to see Turtle hit by a flying shit.
No, you know what you want to see is Turtle get shot by one of his rubber people who he finds.
They need to. All right, Penn and Teller bullshit. This one was all about teen sex and how teens have been having sex since the beginning of time. You know, they even start the show with, when did you lose your virginity? And they go through and talk about it or whatever. He's yeah. like, it's not an epidemic. It's always been happening is what the whole point of the show is, right?
Yeah.
And they have this guy. He teaches classes or seminars for kids, and He's like one of those alarmists about, you know, I think people should be
alarmists about sex.
That guy looks like every single one of those, hey, I'm hip, I'm cool, I'm a young preacher kind of guy.
Yeah, and he's like telling them about, you know, I can understand you need to be safe with your passwords or whatever, but he's doing like the world's going to end kind of thing. It's just funny.
If someone gets your password, it will give you herpes.
Right. Let's check this out. It's pretty funny.
So how do we get to the point where we're willing to call any child with a cell phone a sex offender? Where does this hysteria come from?
Your password's a joke. These are the people that are looking for your content. Every single person you'll see is a convicted sex offender. You're making it a lot easier because you're serving yourself up on a silver platter.
Double.
And you would be surprised at how many people get mugged, raped, abducted, and so on and so forth.
From losing their password?
Abducted? And so on and so forth? You're adding to the fear and paranoia. Say something reassuring or we're going to call you a really bad word.
Sexting is a digital disease. Cyberbullying is a digital disease. Malware in the form
of... Asshole! It's one thing to hear about teen sex from a bunch of adults. What we really need to do is talk to teens. So we invited a bunch of them to sit down and be as open and honest as they could about their own sexuality. Nothing was off limits. For those under 18, we made sure to get their parents' permission, and we promised to keep their identities private.
99% of teenagers have sex.
That's right, Louise Stevens from Oak Ridge Junior High in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Just kidding, I'm sorry. I think I'll shut up now.
It was a funny episode, but...
it was funny.
I love the adults just always, like, freaking out. That one parent who's homeschooled her kids from, like, all the way up until graduation. They've like
the woman with the bright white hair.
Yeah, and she had the funniest thing about it was that she does her own podcast. And she does it from
her phone.
Yeah, she was like, I have 500,000 listeners. I was like, where the hell are these listeners come from?
I gotta find her show and call in.
500,000 listeners? What?
What? And we don't have 500,000 yet?
Not even close.
No, there's a couple shows I know of that have more listeners than us, and it pisses me off.
500,000. And she does it on her phone with a receiver to her ear. Like, what the hell?
And it's got to sound like crap.
I know.
Oh, no, that's top quality whenever you use one of them old-time rotary phones.
I just love that.
It probably sounds like the Mystery Man's voicemails.
I love how he's like, you better say something reassuring or we're going to call you a bad name.
Asshole.
And
I love them.
The next episode, I think, are they taking a week off too? The next episode is like Amway and those get rich kind of
nice.
Things. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be awesome.
You know, it's funny. I had been watching it this week, and my mom came to visit, and I was watching the season 7 set that I rented, and it was that Organics episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where they're doing the and I love it because my mom's a big green organic lady, and it was nice to have her walk in on that. But what wasn't nice was I forgot about the Last Supper table and the woman sitting next to Penn. And she takes off her robe and she's got those big boobs.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, you know, they got to have a naked woman in every episode. That's
yeah,
they do.
They always have nudity. They have full frontal male nudity, too, all the time.
They did. They had it this episode, whenever the two people were on the set. But it was just, it was a little uncomfortable. Just a little bit.
What are you watching? That's bullshit.
Yeah, well, she always takes an interest in stuff that I watch. Because I guess she, like, wants to be enlightened so she can talk to people at work about that sort of stuff. I don't know. But then it's like she's getting all into it. Like, yeah, this makes sense. Oh, tits.
they just blew it for me.
There's a great part on this episode, Bill, where they said, we would have had some of these teenagers on the show, but they're already in enough trouble as it is. They don't want to appear on a show called Bullshit.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Now, guys, what do you say we talk about True Blood? True Blood. Hey, you know what? I know it's kind of, I do it every time, every episode of True Blood, but Jason Stackhouse, he has the best scenes.
He makes the show. He makes the show.
He's inspired to be a cop now. And there's a great part where, is it Hoyt? He's helping him study online for the test. Let's check this out. I thought it was funny.
What is the rank between a sergeant and a captain in Louisiana State Police? Skip.
Skip.
The legal blood alcohol limit in the state of Louisiana is...
When you're drunk?
No.
Next one.
Jessica says it's too late for us to be together. What do you think she means by that?
Wait, that's on the test?
No, I'm asking you.
That's on the test?
Come on, man. Not now. You're quizzing me. I'm in the zone.
Yeah, you're 0 for 22. At least this you can help me with.
0 for 22. Right, listen.
I've heard every breakup excuse from you're a sumbitch Stackhouse to you're a fucking asshole Jason. And you know what? They're all saying the same thing. They can't handle the heat you're packing.
So Jessica's having trouble handling my heat.
The only thing to do is to move on to someone who can. That's why every girlfriend I've ever had's been hotter than the last.
I don't know how I find someone better than Jessica.
No, man, there are two kinds of people in this world. People who got no dreams, people who got dreams and don't do nothing about it, and people who go out and fulfill their dreams. I know about you, but I'm the third kind. So you going to help me out or not?
I'm trying to help you out, but look, the website says you have to pass the written exam.
You think Annie Belfo knows half of this shit? Yeah, there's got to be an easier way. I'm ready now, you know? I know Twin good. And I'm like a ninja level marksman. I got all the training I need.
Hey, you want to know what that blood alcohol limit is?
I don't need to know it. Because if it's on the sample test, it's not on the real thing. Everybody knows that.
I love that by the end of the episode, he's given up. He's like burning the application. He's like, forget it.
I like that it'll turn to like the hieroglyphics. He's looking at it.
Yeah, he's having that dream. It's all hieroglyphics. That was
hydroglyphics.
Great. Come on, from the rest of my life now, it's going to be hydroglyphics. Gotta
And you know what? I'll say it and people look at me like I'm an idiot, it's and like, I don't care because it's funny.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? We forgot to mention last week that Bill's maker, that annoying bitch vampire, shows up and he immediately throws the thing at her. Was it a lantern?
A lantern, yeah.
And it catches her head. It was holy water.
I thought that was awesome. He catches her head on fire and that's all they showed of it. And then this week she's all burned up or whatever. But I was mad that she was still alive. And I wanted.
She screwed up the rug. That one dude's only pissed off.
Yeah. He's like...
Singed my rug, my 18th century rug.
And I know it's skipping ahead, but I got to tell you, the way this episode ended with that sex scene, I was like, what the F?
You know what I thought was funny was on Twitter, so many TV people were teasing a shocking scene.
Uh-huh.
And everyone was guessing it was Eric and Sookie. I was like, that's not shocking. That's expected. And they, you know, I kind of thought the Bill Lorena thing, I was wondering how it would get there, but then the how it was consummated was a little creepy.
It was just effed up. Can you say that? Like when he bends his head around. I was like, holy crap. I thought he was going to kill her.
That initial pop.
Yeah. Like,
and the blood coming out of her mouth.
And her head's like, facing the other way. And she's like, oh, Bill. And I was like, what the hell, man? I was ready for him to break a bedpost off and like stake her or something. But
that would have been the perfect, perfect ending of the episode.
But I guess the whole thing is Bill has realized she's right. Like, he can't ever be with Sookie. What the hell is he thinking? And he's like giving up now. Or he's like... I don't know what the hell's going on, but
that's so sad.
And we got introduced to the vampire guy protecting Sookie now, and I thought werewolf guy, and then they introduced the werewolf bar, which I thought was hilarious. They got wolf
lupines.
It's like tacky. I guess they're not like.
Werewolves are white trash.
Yeah, werewolves are white trash. Vampires, they're sophisticated, and werewolves are like, yeah,
and they all have to relate to Don Swayze.
Yeah. And then also they're all addicted to V too. They love V.
Hey, V, some good shit.
You know, earlier in the right when the episode begins, Sookie shoots at the werewolf and he's like jumps in front of the bullet, Eric does, and he goes, "No, don't shoot him." Did you wonder why he did that? Why couldn't she shoot him?
Maybe I thought maybe she had a silver bullet. I don't know.
He was trying to get information.
He wanted to get information from him.
Because here's what I'm thinking. The werewolves aren't – they're not – it's not like silver. I think a regular gun could just kill them is what they're trying to tell us is what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because she just had a regular gun. Or
that kind of sucks.
You don't know. The gun was given to her for protection. So maybe they were silver bullets.
I don't think so. I think that they can just be killed like normal people.
Well, why the hell would you want to be a werewolf?
I don't that's just what I'm thinking. I don't know. But I thought it was weird that he was like, "No," and he jumps in front of it. Very kind of Tom Welling Smallville there, wasn't it? But I thought it was a cooler effect though than Smallville, the bullet traveling.
Hey, man, Smallville's the best.
Yeah, I was just ready for Eric to pick him up and throw him on a glass table though. That would have been Smallville, wouldn't it? Sookie's like, "I just bought that glass table."
Damn, I would have completed it. That really would have.
I did love that the blood from the werewolf got all over her floor, and she's just like, "Oh, she's always scrubbing the floor in her house because somebody's always been killed." Which brings me to the hilarious moment where they discover the body, and now we know what happened to the body in Jessica's cellar. They find the decapitated head and hands of this dead body, and the sheriff has had enough. And I thought the scene was hilarious. Let's check this out.
Mr. Fortenberry states he was clearing a ditch to replace a drainage pipe when he located the victim.
The Vic's head and hands are missing, but there's no blood, so he probably bled out before being brought to the scene. The muscle tissue shows signs of tearing rather than cutting, so it looks like our unsub just tore his head clean off. Only thing I know can do that's a vampire.
I explain why there's no blood.
I quit.
Hey, Bud, wait up. Where you going?
Did you hear me? I quit. I've had it with this shit. Every time we clear one murder, two more spring up. It's like crabgrass.
We need you to sign the report.
You sign it. Or you, I don't care. Take this crap. All of it. 43 years, and what have I got to show for it? Gaps in my brain and polyps in my ass. I don't need this horse shit.
I felt the same way he did. I quit too. I'm not doing this shit anymore. Clean up these bodies and crap. I also love the scene with Sam's white trash family show up to his bar.
Oh.
His dad. Is that his dad or his stepdad?
Dad needed to show up in his dirty underwear.
He's always scratching down there.
His hand in his pants. Yeah. Underwear.
He gets drunk and he's trying to start a fight with them and stuff.
And his other son is in the room, you know.
And then like,
that kid's a loser and a half.
And then they rip him off. They take his money. Did it seem like they got all of it, or they just got some of it, or what? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's like you gotta. Maybe he shouldn't have looked.
He's really, you know, he really comes from good genes there.
And I don't even know what to think of this Franklin vampire, but that. His sex scene with Tara lasted way too long. And I
can't stand her, so it's like, oh, come on. Just, I don't care. Kill her.
That scene where they were having sex was ridiculous. And I was like, that's the most ridiculous sex scene I've ever seen. But I didn't know about the end scene.
I guess maybe the girl doesn't want to appear nude. So they do that really horrible lighting. So everything's in shadows. And it's not a very well composed scene. And it just drags on way too long.
Yeah, that was strange. But I think this season's been great so far. The one thing I love about True Blood is how funny it is, you know?
Yeah.
Just how wrong and funny shit is. That's what I like about
it. Wait to see what else happens to Jason Stackhouse.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on. Because he saw that really hot girl running through the woods or whatever. Remember that? That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
So what are we going to see more of that chick or whatever? All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah, sure.
All right, guys, let's do the news!
Come on! I gotta take a big dump out here!
Alright, Bill, we better hurry. That guy's gotta take a dump.
Alright, I'll speed through this then.
Alright, what do we got in the news this week?
I think we should mention, first thing off the bat, that one of the best comedy shows on television was canceled this week by Starz.
That's right.
Being Party Down was canceled.
It's ridiculous.
A show that we talk about sometimes.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, it's such a great show, and Starz just, I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
What the hell? I mean, I know they have Spartacus Blood and Sand, which is a great show, but what other original programming do they have on that show? Really? You know what I mean? Like that, what was that remake of that one movie?
Crash, yeah.
Yeah, Crash. That didn't last long, and Dennis Hopper's dead, so. But another thing is you can tell that Party Down is extremely a low-budget show.
Like very, yes, very. Budget.
How much would it have cost to keep that show running? Seriously.
They're probably paying the actors more than they are the production cost.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly looks like it.
It was a great show. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it sucks.
HBO needs to scoop it up.
That would be great. You know, HBO's, I think that maybe it would get more recognition if it was on HBO.
Definitely. I don't have Starz. I had to watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, I had Starz. I canceled it the moment I heard it was Party Down was canceled. All right. In the news, this story out of Sydney, Australia. Two men, both age 34, underwent surgery to remove slug pellets from their backsides and legs. They'd been drinking for several hours when they hit upon the plan to shoot each other for fun.
Good times.
They then took turns firing the rifle at each other's body parts.
Holy shit.
Yeah, if it's slug pellets, it would have to be a pellet gun.
Yeah.
Like an air rifle. The following day, both men found themselves in severe pain, went to the hospitals, where doctors had removed several slug pellets from them. Basically, it started as two mates in a shed having a drink, and it turned into them deciding to shoot one another.
Goddamn right.
What the hell's going on in Australia? Didn't I do a story a couple weeks ago from the guy dying from eating a raw slug?
Yeah, that shit was gross, too.
It will be for people listening on Tuesday. But this weekend, the 4th of July, big deal out in Coney Island. There's the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating competition.
Oh, yeah. Joey Chestnut, right?
Yep. Joey Chestnut now owns the record at 59. I think, which is it? Is it 59 hot dogs? It could be just over 60. I don't have the exact numbers. Oh, it was 68. 68.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, Joey Chestnut won the last 3 years.
Right. And there's also
the record. I thought that Kobayashi had done like 64. He held it for a long time with like 64 or 65.
Yeah, well, Kobayashi's having some problems. I guess because he's kind of fallen out of favor in the competitive eating world. He now, in order to compete in this Nathan's Hot Dog, he wants a contract from the organizers with an exclusivity clause.
No!
And he won't compete unless he does. So he says the thing holds a special place in his heart because of it making him a celebrity from winning from 2001 to 2006. But I think, you know, Chestnut's got him beat. I don't think it's going to happen. I guess Chestnut only won by 3.5 hot dogs last year, but Chestnut's serious, man.
That's
still
a lot for the amount of time you have.
Yeah. Why is that such a problem for you?
There was an episode of Man vs. Food where he ate like a Joey Chestnut.
Dude,
ate
that was making me sick. He
that
had a giant,
massive burrito.
That was making me ill watching that. I had to turn the channel.
Well, it's not like he even savors it. He just engulfs it. He doesn't even chew. he just takes these gigantic bites.
He just consumes it like the food disappears once it goes in his mouth. It's weird.
It's amazing that that can even happen. All right. In Boulder, Colorado, police responding to reports of a man leaping between cars in a Colorado supermarket parking lot didn't need a detailed description of the suspect. Witnesses said that the man was dressed as a leprechaun. And pretending to shoot at people with his fingers.
Whoa. Wait, shooting at him with his fingers? Like,
yep. And apparently he made other obscene gestures with his fingers.
Oh, dear.
The police chief says that the police were likely called because the man was acting bizarre. Sadly, I guess, you know, the leprechaun disappeared because they didn't find him.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I guess, you know, he only comes out at certain times and then flips people off and jumps on their cars.
Was there a rainbow around?
Yeah, it was during a rainbow.
That's why he disappeared. Yep.
Awesome. That's what happens whenever that moisture evaporates. You got to get him while
the gold.
I don't need this horse shit.
In Salem, Oregon, police said an 81-year-old man was arrested after he chased another man around a Salem taco stand while armed with a machete.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you don't screw with a dude at a taco stand with a machete. Salem police said Monday the man accused the taco stand owner of stealing a drill from his nearby business. When the taco stand owner denied it, the suspect left and returned with a machete. The suspect chased the unidentified man around the stand several times before officers arrested him on accusations of menacing and attempted assault. Yeah, I bet it was like a Benny Hill song playing in the background as those two ran around the taco truck.
Context of that taco.
Some people have really, really shitty luck. And one person is Rick Oliver. One of the unluckiest men in North Carolina, if not the world.
Oh, my God.
Oliver was mauled by a bear in his otherwise peaceful front yard a few weeks ago.
Holy shit.
And he said it was like getting struck by lightning. It was just such a random thing. And it turns out Oliver might be one of the few people in the world capable of accurately making the bear lightning analogy. He's also been struck by lightning.
Oh, dude.
He says ever since he's had trouble sleeping. On restless nights, he tends to, putter about his farm, checking on chickens, working on tractors. And he was in the garage working on his Chevy Malibu in the early hours of June 3rd when around 3 a.m. he heard a distant rustling and decided to go check it out. Heard like a strange huffing. Next thing he knew, he had been run over and stepped on by a bear. The bear's claws gouged his wrist so deep that when he first took off his bandage, blood spewed onto the farmhouse floor. So I guess it slit his arteries in his wrist.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this bear really gave him a good whomping.
Not good.
But he slept good ever since then.
Yeah, the lightning was nothing compared to the bear, apparently. What's funny is they interviewed someone in the town that said that he's a little unlucky, said Cameron Rhodes of Cary, who was married at the church where all this guy is a minister. But he's even more lucky he survived both of them. So I wonder what's going to happen next to him. If he's struck by lightning, attacked by a bear, what's left?
So he's unlucky first, then he's lucky because he survives.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Well,
I guess that's,
you know, kind of a glass half full outlook on being unlucky. There can't be that many people that have been attacked by bears in the world.
I don't know, maybe. If you live in the woods somewhere.
Well, they had that dude on the Discovery Channel got attacked and it took his face off.
Are you talking about the
Russian? I want to take his face off.
Russian guy, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant that documentary, Grizzly Man.
Man, the guy gets eaten. That guy's awesome.
They put magnets in there and they built him a face to put it all back.
The hell? Magnets?
Yeah. Magnets? So cool. He can, like, take his face off?
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
I want to take his face off.
It's like from the lip up.
He can trade it with Nicolas Cage.
From the lip up and one of his eye sockets.
If he got other faces with magnets in them, he could, like, change his faces?
Yeah, he's like Mr. Potato Head.
That's awesome.
Awesome!
In Ypsilanti, Michigan, authorities said a drunken man and woman were arrested after they were found pushing a baby stroller, holding two young boys, open containers of alcohol, and a bayonet inside.
No!
I think they were just going out prepared. You never know. Maybe they're going to run into that bear.
Wait, why did they have a bayonet?
Well, I think they're, protection.
That's kind of weird and random, isn't a bayonet?
I know. Says police sent a statement, a 30-year-old woman and 52-year-old man were arrested when the woman tried to take a bike off a porch. Oh, yeah. So maybe they got tired of walking.
I'm fine, I swear to God.
The statement said security guards have been watching the pair and initially detained the woman. Police said officers found the woman's 1 and 4-year-old sons in a stroller along with alcohol and a double-edged bayonet.
What the hell?
Double-edged?
That's some hardcore shit.
You don't know. You don't even have a clue.
I guess Bubba's got himself a wife.
No more jinx fraud him.
There's so many great stories of dogs protecting people. And here's one that I guess you could interpret as that. A Northern California woman says her chihuahua died protecting her children from 2 pit bulls that got into her apartment.
Oh, my God.
Maida Estrella of Richmond says the family chihuahua named Manchas jumped in between the canine invaders and her 4-year-old son on Sunday.
Canine invaders, I like that.
I know, that's a great band name. A pit bull grabbed the chihuahua in its jaws and carried the chihuahua away.
Oh, poor little guy.
What's funny is that the chihuahua probably thought, hey, guys, you here to play?
I don't know if that's... That thing probably wasn't defending him. He's probably like, oh, shit, and just got taken away.
It's dinner.
Can I get a doggy bag for this dog?
My dog is always with me.
Oh, my goodness.
The pit bull carries it around on a necklace.
I have not told you the type of dog which I have.
It's a chihuahua. What is he talking about?
I had no idea. David Lynch was so ahead of his time. He knew I was going to read this story. And he wrote that specifically for Wild at Heart so we could play
perhaps
it during this.
You might even picture Toto from The Wizard of Oz.
That guy scared the shit out of me when I first saw that movie.
That's such a weird scene. Love it.
All right, so Contra Costa County Animal Services officials say the chihuahua was, in fact, killed.
Oh.
And the pit bulls are now in custody. Pit bull's owner said they had escaped their yard by chewing through the fence. The woman whose dog was attacked, her front door was open when the dogs came in. This is really strange. I hate hearing negative stories about pit bulls because... One of my sister has 2 of them, and they're the sweetest dogs in the world. And
I think we've talked about this before. It's all how they're raised.
Yeah, but it's still, they are really strong dogs, and they are very intimidating dogs. But it just seems, I don't like hearing about that stuff.
Any dog can turn.
That's very true, Steven. Last story in Boise, Idaho. This lady's hardcore.
They were so drunk.
Joy Cassidy is a 74-year-old grandma charged with making a mess in a year-long condiment crime spree. Police arrested her Sunday after she allegedly pulled through the drive-thru of the Ada County Library and poured an entire jar of mayonnaise into the box designated for books.
Yeah, right, right.
Police say the book vandalism started in May 2009 after library employees reported finding books in the drop box smothered in corn syrup and ketchup. They're now speculating that the 74-year-old grandma has been the one to continue this crime spree.
What the hell's wrong with this lady?
Maybe she thought it was like a food drop box.
I bet you they have like something happened in the past where she's a disgruntled customer or whatever.
I don't know.
Patron.
I don't know why anybody would want to ruin books with mayonnaise and corn syrup.
Oh, I know what it is. They probably have offensive books in there.
She just honestly thought it was a food drop, like that homeless people needed condiments too. I don't know.
Are you giving it to him straight? Sandwich.
You know, and I just need to bring this up really quickly since there's very short DVDs this week. I forgot to mention it last week, but it's something that we've talked about, and this is Jeremy London's alleged kidnapping.
Oh, yeah.
He was held at gunpoint, robbed, and then forced to smoke drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he said he was changing a flat tire. A man stopped to help him, then made him get into the car, and they drove around for hours, passing out alcohol, drinking, and doing drugs.
They were so drunk.
I mean, first it just sounds suspicious, and as the story developed, it turned out that at one point they even the kidnappers gave his Jeremy London's wife a ride home.
What?
Yeah, and then it came out that supposedly Jeremy London was with these guys for like 12 hours looking for prescription drugs because him and his wife are prescription drug addicts.
Oh, that's sad.
So that comes out, and then his brother and his mother say, yes, he's a drug addict. He's had problems in the past. We don't believe this story at all. And now London's he's lawyered up and issued a cease and desist order to his family. Now they can't talk about it. So it's getting so weird that he would first blame these guys. Like, they kidnapped me. And it made me smoke dope. It made me drink. And now it's coming out that he actually was there willingly, smoking dope and drinking and looking for drugs for him and his wife.
Thumbs up.
I mean, what happened to the guy from Mallrats? What happened to that guy?
Wow, that's sad. Poor guy.
Fucking piece of shit.
Whoa, hey.
Such a good actor. He delivered those lines so convincingly.
Good old Jeremy London. I wonder what his twin brother Jason London's doing.
Probably wishing he was in the news.
You're a fucking asshole, Jason.
Hey! Oh, maybe he's talking about Jason London.
Yeah, Jason London. And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
I would like that.
Let's mosey on over to the DVD counter. Yeah, section.
Let's check out
the
DVD.
The new releases.
The DVD mezzanine, if you will. Get out of my mezzanine. Ow!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Oh, yeah!
That's like the worst keyboard trumpet sound I've ever heard.
DVDs, yes, Bill.
Goddamn right.
Yeah. What do we got in the DVDs this week?
Let's start out with a DVD and Blu-ray of a film I didn't even know existed. And it's called Brooklyn's Finest. With Richard Gere, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Ellen Barkin, Lily Taylor, Wesley Snipes, Don Cheadle, Will Patton.
Whoa. It's a cavalcade.
All-star Kate.
Yeah.
Directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Bill! It's a family show. Oh,
yo,
that's
Fuqua, his... your stuff up, yo.
Oh, that's his last name.
Yes. I have no idea what this movie's about. I don't care what this movie's about. So there you go.
Can't wait to check that out.
Yeah, and it's got an audio commentary with the Fuqua. That's what his friends call him.
What's up, Fuqua?
How's it hanging, Fuqua?
I think that guy shoots beautiful movies, though. Gorgeous cinematography.
I have no complaints about the Fuqua.
Do you remember Tears of the Sun? Didn't he do that?
Yeah, see, I like that movie.
Yeah, it's really sad, isn't it?
It has Monica Bellucci in it. I don't care if it's sad. I'm looking at her.
The best part of it is Bruce Willis when they decide, we're not taking any more of this shit, you know?
Yes.
And, yeah, Monica Bellucci's hot, but it's still like around a bunch of dead people. It's really hard for her to look gorgeous in that, isn't it? But she does. Am I right?
She's always gorgeous. She's just gorgeous.
He's answering.
Hello?
Yes. Sorry, I'm thinking about her.
Can't
right
call
now,
me out on
currently.
That, that's for sure.
All right, where are we going here? Hello? Hello?
Yes, we're here. Hey, Bill, what
Hello?
Other DVDs do we have this
Mitch?
Week?
I can't hear you.
Ribbon!
All right. Moving on. The girl with that dragon tattoo doing that thing
Fuck
she
that
do.
Shit.
Okay, what the hell is this movie? Because I remember a while back, everybody was talking about it for a week, like on Twitter. And, you know, hey, saw the girl with the dragon tattoo. And I don't know what that is.
Okay. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is a film based on the first book of a trilogy of books by Stieg Larsson. And they call it the Millennium Trilogy. It's about this guy who's a an investigative journalist, kind of a disgraced one, but he was framed. And he looks into this kind of as a private investigator, looks into this disappearance of this girl in this kind of crazy recluse family that's rich. And he gets involved with this hacker named Lisbeth Salander. And
cool,
they kind of come. Yes, she's a hacker. And they kind of do a lot of hacking and investigating. And it's really cool. It's a good movie and it's a good book. The problem is that this was made as a trilogy of films. And this one is good. And it's good because it stands on its own. Because the next two suck.
No!
Oh.
So, you know, enjoy this one for what it is. It's got a great standalone ending. Very cool. It's a good movie.
So
I think people will enjoy it.
You can pretend the other two movies don't exist.
Yeah, easily.
Over.
Yeah, easily.
Stupid but if movies you really, like this.
I would say if you really want to continue the story, read the books. Much better than the films.
It sounds like a lot of work, though.
It is. It is. It's a lot of work.
Well,
but if you're invested, go for it.
Cool. So is the girl with the dragon tattoo, is she a character in the movie?
Yes, that's Lisbeth Salander.
I wanted to be in the theater to be that person because that must be her, the girl with the
dragon
tattoo.
Whenever she takes off her clothes and has got a dragon tattoo on her back.
Oh, there's a dragon tattoo. It looks like we're in the right theater.
But this movie can be disturbing at times. There's some definite, like, queasiness to it.
Gosh, what a great time I had.
Not a family movie.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, watch this one when the kids are sleeping or, you know, whatever.
My friend Patty promised me a blowjob.
Huh?
Patty sounds like a really good girl.
Sweet girl.
A
lovely girl there.
Giving him a job.
Dear little buttercup, sweet little buttercup, my little buttercup.
That is the one. There's two parts in that movie that make me howl out laughing. That, my little buttercup, and whenever they're all saying goodnight to one another, and the turtle says goodnight.
Yeah.
I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it's made me laugh my entire life.
That is great.
That one killed me last night.
I still like the, what is a plethora?
Yeah. That entire movie cracks me up, but those parts in particular, like, bring tears to my eyes.
Good stuff.
All right.
Well,
and
I'm sick of it!
Oh dear.
Next is a Blu-ray strictly, and that's it's part of the whole Ray Harryhausen what is it? Is it anniversary, birthday? Is he 90 or some shit? But it's a signature collection of Jason and the Argonauts on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
And so you can check out all the cool, like,
you're
fighting
skeleton
fight
scenes
and yeah, I'm gonna check it out. In fact, I think I might buy it just
it's
because
pretty it's badass. That's the one with the Cyclops in it, isn't it?
Yeah,
that is sweet, man.
And I just love the that scene of him fighting the skeletons is one of those things that I remember seeing as a kid and going, wow, I know it's fake, but it's so cool.
Which one is that? Is that the Sinbad one? Or is that Jason?
Jason and the Argonauts.
I need to watch it again. I know in Sinbad he fights skeletons too or something.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Harryhausen was a big fan of the reusing the skeleton warriors with swords and shields.
I have to watch them again. You know, a lot of that's childhood memories, and I didn't
know
what the hell the name of the
movie
is. It's foggy, but it's
like
there.
You're right.
It was all one movie, you know, in my head.
It really does blend together.
Especially when they did those afternoons of Sinbad and then Jason the Argonauts right after. And
I just remember they had that giant Cyclops, and don't they blind him too, the Cyclops or something?
Yeah.
They ram his eye or something? I can't remember.
That poor Cyclops.
Can't remember.
You know, it's bad enough when you have one eye, but then whenever they go for the one eye, that's just unacceptable.
I know.
I can't get behind that.
I don't need this
horse
shit!
Yeah, there's a Cyclops right there. He's had it.
I'm not going to really get into detail on these next two Blu-rays. I just have to mention that they are on Blu-ray because it's shocking that they would actually bother putting either of these films on Blu-ray, but that's Jimmy Hollywood with Joe Pesci and Christian Slater.
I like that movie. I like Jimmy Hollywood.
Oh, come on.
I do. I genuinely enjoy
that
film.
Isn't that the one where he with the vigilante shit?
Yes.
Jericho
and Christian Slater's like his friend who's been hit on the head one too many times. He's really slow. I could say I'm a fan of that movie. I like Jimmy Hollywood.
Wow. Well, color me surprised.
Barry Levinson, love it.
You know, you're right. That was Barry Levinson. Wow. Huh.
I'm a fan of the Jimmy Hollywood.
Maybe I'll have to check it out again. Well, this next one you'll definitely not be a fan of, and that's Rodney Dangerfield in Ladybugs.
I love that. Okay, I'm just kidding with that.
Thank God. With the late, great Jonathan Brandis.
Oh, dear.
I'm fine, I swear to God.
That's so sad that Jonathan Brandis kid, he had his whole life ahead of him, you know? He was in Sidekicks, his Sequest, and all that, and he killed himself. Pretty sad.
Yeah.
But if you want to, he comes back to life every time you watch Ladybug, so you might want to check it out.
Yes, that's something he'll be remembered for forever.
Is that wrong when I just did that?
I'm sure in 30 years' time it'll be on Turner Classic Movies.
Well, he was a kid on Sequest?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a smart kid.
When did he die?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long, long time ago. I just feel bad. I shouldn't have made that joke.
You're a fucking asshole, Jason.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right, now next is the Blu-ray I've been looking forward to the most. And I don't quite understand the whole action double feature thing.
Can't top Jimmy Hollywood.
But but it's a double feature of Bruce Willis on Blu-ray, Last Man Standing, basically Yojimbo, and the one I want, The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, yeah.
But what I want to know is this one disc with, like, each film on a single layer?
Oh, dear.
Or is it two discs?
That's a little unstable.
I don't want to put a Blu-ray in and then say, do you want to watch Last Man Standing or Last Boy Scout?
Yeah.
Like, I'd really kind of just take the disc that says Last Boy Scout out and pretend the Last Man Standing one doesn't exist.
Last Man Standing is very watchable. It's a fun movie. What?
I'll let you say that.
Last Man Standing, it's watchable.
It's
got some kick-ass action scenes in it. I mean, I know it's just all... The film wouldn't exist without John Woo gun shootouts or whatever.
Well, I know that Don Chepp would be very upset, since isn't it directed by Walter Hill?
Yeah, I'm going to say he did a good job for what it is. It's not an awful movie or anything.
Well, you know what? When I get it on Tuesday, I'll put it in, and I will be prepared to eat my words if I enjoy it.
I like the music, too. It's like Ry Cooder. That guy's a genius, man. Cooter.
Ry Cooder. Ry
Cooder.
Anyone with the name Cooter is good in my book.
Me too, man. And I'm going to just say it's not a bad movie. Very well-made film.
Isn't it the one werewolf in True Blood named Cooter?
Yeah, and Bill Compton laughed at it. Don't you laugh. Your name Cooter? Is Cooter? He's also the guy who always fixed up General Lee.
Yeah.
But seriously, Bill, Last Man Standing, I know it's just exactly Yojimbo, but it's a good movie. It's fun.
But I love Last Boy Scout.
It's
love
no Jimmy movie. Hollywood, though. Yeah, you know what? I recently watched Last Boy Scout in HD on Netflix streaming, and it looked great. Yeah. It looked 10 times better than the shitty DVD that's existed.
You know what? Even if it is one of those dual-layer Blu-rays that is, well, it's 25 gigs a layer, it's still got to look decent at 25 gigs.
Yeah, it did on Netflix.
Yeah, and Netflix is, you know, streaming highest at what, like 6 megabits? So it should look pretty good, maybe 6 megabytes.
No idea, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm psychic. I'm not psychic. My psychic readings are probably, I would say, 85% on the money.
Oh. Wait, she said she's psychic but not psychic.
Yeah, she's clairvoyant.
She got caught in a lie. All right, and last Blu-ray and DVD is a film I'll probably never watch because I think it's probably depressing and just not my cup of tea. A Single Man with Colin Firth and Julianne Moore, directed by the fashion designer Tom Ford, about a guy, a gay couple, and the longtime partner of the Colin Firth character dies, and then he has to try to find meaning to his life after the death of his partner, and it just sounds really friggin' ponderous and
awesome.
It's just one of those movies. I don't want to sit down and watch that shit.
You know, I was thinking it would be fun if you watched like a triple feature of Yojimbo, Fistful of Dollars, and Last Man Standing, because it's all the same exact story. And even some of the, the moments in the films are exactly the same. But what would be interesting about it is how they were all made like so far apart in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, how they differ in the styles.
Right. And
see the tone and the tempo.
The filmmaking and how they used music and everything. I think it would be kind of a cool experiment to do.
That would be a fun little film festival.
It would. And go, hey, here's the part where they burn them all alive. We've got to see that again. And it's just interesting how they take each one of them.
That would be cool. Take note. Maybe we'll do that one day whenever we finally have our film festival.
Let's see how Ry Cooter's score compares with...
Ry Cooter. That's one Ry Cooter.
I'm going to be embarrassed if he didn't do the music to that. I just pulled that out of nowhere.
Ry Cooter. All right. And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Right, Steven?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead and take your big dump. There you go.
Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
All right, everybody. That was episode 206 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you for listening, downloading, whatever you do to enjoy the show. I'm glad that you enjoy it, period. So thanks a lot. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. Visit Mulberry Old School, Steven. Go check out those old shows. What do you think, Bill? Don't you think Steven should
I think
go
that would be an excellent thing for Steven to do.
Just go back. It's an experiment.
I should do it.
Check it out. Just throw a couple on the iPod. Listen
just
to them on
randomly
the plane.
Select them. Something like that. It'd be great. See if you laugh. If you remember them fondly. Or if you're,
when
it makes
I listen,
you angry.
When I have listened back, I do laugh.
That's good.
I don't listen all to every show a weekend, but I have listened to many.
But I thought you didn't like your voice on them.
I didn't say I didn't, but I'm just saying I have listened. I have listened to
I didn't
to
say I didn't.
Okay. You almost sound like, what is it, Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah, like a Rye-cooter.
No.
No. Not actually. Huh?
No, I don't think I sound like Foghorn.
No, no, no. I'm saying that, no, I didn't say, nah, listen.
I didn't say that.
Where was I? Okay, call 1-206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail. Also, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. There you can send us an email. Or you can send an MP3 of your voice, which would be really cool. Or like JSR, send an MP4, which I then have to put in iTunes and turn into an MP3.
Sweet.
Or you could, tweet us. Find us on Twitter. PZZ Steven.
Yeah, we're pretty active on the Twittering.
The Jason.
I've been lazy. I need to.
Like, if you saw me on Twitter this week, it was me crying over not having internet, Steven.
I want to come back. I keep wishing it
would.
As soon
as they get me one of them their smartphones and I can
yes
Twitter.
That's what I was saying at the top of the show, Steven, that one thing that not having internet for a day made me realize is I need a device where I'm never separated from the internet again. And I was talking
I'd like
about
to get. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was talking about the Wi-Fi belt buckle, where you just a living, breathing Wi-Fi hotspot. It's actually powered by your own endocrine system.
It's like that that Cronenberg movie, Extends or Existence or whatever the hell it is.
Existence. I need to order some of those, by the way. But anyway,
yes. Those. I hear they work.
Jimmy Johnson told me that.
You can plug it right into like your spinal cord and it powers it.
Existence. I'm going to pull your endocrine system out of your body.
No, my Wi-Fi will shut down.
I want to get a follower on Twitter that I don't have to block and report for spam. It seems like every week I get at least 3 people that I check their page first, and it's like, you should go to this link because you can make money at staying home all day. And I'm just like,
I need to do that because there are some I'll see. So-and-so is following you on Twitter. It's like, that's not a person. You know, I need to do
There's
that.
So many of them. I get a handful of them.
Back in the day, like when people used MySpace, how bad the spam was on there? It's always some chick in a bikini, come check me out or whatever. It's just like,
yeah, well, that's the same thing going on with Twitter. Unless you protect your tweets, like you can lock it down so that only the people that you allow see them can see them. But if you don't, it's on the public feed. So if you mention something, somebody can have a search out that'll automatically friend you if you mention something.
Oh.
No!
Oh, dear. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure out hashtags because whenever we tweet about the show, should we do a NIM hashtag? That way everyone
sure,
who comments
that,
on it,
yeah,
they could do a NIM hashtag.
Yeah, because then it goes into that search history. So, yeah.
Is it even worth bothering?
I don't see why not. I mean, it's Twitter. Twitter uses hashtags. So we might as well create a NIM hashtag.
Steven, what's your favorite beer, by the way?
Hashtag.
Heineken.
Heineken?
Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Damn.
Pabst Blue Ribbon!
That was the God best right endorsement for a horrible beer they ever got.
Oh, that's great. You got to look that I posted on Facebook that a video from that where they put the Pabst Blue Ribbon
that shit on like there.
Insignia on there. That was great. Steven,
I need
you just
to
watch
Blue
language.
Velvet again.
Just dirty language, Steven. That was wrong. Why'd you do that, Steven?
It was on there. I didn't say it.
You just said it.
I repeated it.
My little buttercup.
So, everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Right, everybody? Bye, Bill. Bye, Steven.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye, Auntie M. What? Oh. Bye.
Grazie a tutti.
Ciao.
Pretty stupid.